about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
That's remix.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Deliciously different marijuana. Deliciously different marijuana.
The plain fact is that none of us know very much about this drug in any verifiable way.
Well, Bill, it's been about 2 hours since you got the drug. How do you feel?
Fantastic.
Would you be interested in taking part in a study like this again and having the same type of drug?
Sure.
You would. It's been a very pleasant experience for you.
I'll do it anytime you want.
Do you think it would be...
Anytime at all.
Do you think
just
it would be...
Just call me any time of the day or night.
Marijuana is a memory loss drug, so maybe you just don't remember.
I would remember.
Well, how could you if it just erased your memory?
That's not how it works.
Now, how do you know how it works?
Back it off, okay? I'm interviewing you.
No, you said that I'd be conducting the interview when I walked in here. Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The voice of the people is heard once more.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Really?
Roll another one.
Right, it's the fat one.
Just like the other one.
They're tricking you because you're dumb.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, hit me, baby, one more time.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine,
Dick. Roll another one.
Back door.
Just like the other one.
Yo, buddy, ain't made for that.
This one seems to be about.
Lying if I said I wasn't just a little aroused.
Psycho Mike, is that his name?
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike. I think he is a comedian, isn't he?
What the hell is going on here?
Just pass it around.
This should not happen in America.
A big open manhole.
And now,
Kevin and Bean, your show is so much cooler when I'm high.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that would be our message to you. Is it if you don't find us funny, try that.
Mm-hmm.
Try it.
Well, it's not us. It's you.
Right. Sure.
That's what we have to say about that. So, light him if you got him.
So you remember yesterday when my card wouldn't work?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get in, couldn't get in the gate, couldn't get in the door.
Card wouldn't work in air quotes.
What's that?
Card wouldn't work in air quotes because you lost it.
No, I had it. But the funny part is that it was an old card.
So well,
that's been turned off
it.
Because you've already gotten a new one since then? You
that's
mean?
Correct.
Oh.
So I got back in my car and I went to put it where I'm supposed to usually put it. It's my system and there was my card sitting there. So I had found an old card, not known it, sitting out there at the gate.
Beep, beep, okay. Beep. Well, that makes sense.
Let me in.
They should so never deactivate any of your cards.
That's true. But
they should all work all the time,
yeah,
just in case.
But then I'm spreading them out all over Los Angeles, and that's probably not
It is funny that you call it a system as if there's some order to it
there
and
is.
That it is effective keeping you organized.
It's not effective, but it's a system.
You're going to die, and your daughters are going to find all these key cards hidden away.
It's an ineffective
CVS items.
System at best.
So, Stripey, the reason Super Whore is in here this morning is she says she has... Is it an update on the same intern we discussed yesterday or a different intern today,
Oh,
Alex?
No. This has become a fascinating week with interns. This is about our intern, JV. So, yesterday we found out that the Penguin quit to move on to greener pastures.
And didn't tell us, but emailed us after he left.
Correct.
Okay.
About his last day. So, JV, our intern, has been out sick. He's been sick on and off, and he's just been a very weakling intern.
Are we putting sick in quotes?
No,
air
for
quotes?
Real.
Okay.
Okay, so I get this email, David, I get this email last night. Unfortunately, excuse me, I have been informed that I do not have the stomach flu, But I have the swine flu.
Oh! Yeah!
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
I probably caught it from Landon Donovan when he was in studio.
That's
so I will not be
awesome.
Able to return to K-Rock before I leave for school in Chicago.
Oh!
Thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be an intern on your show.
So we
it
lost another
fun.
Intern.
I hope I didn't screw up too bad. Cordially yours, JB.
I like
oh
it.
Who lost your computer?
God.
I like it. I like it.
The swine
it.
Flu, Bean, how happy are you? You know someone who has it.
It is awesome, but...
Now, are we all infected?
I don't know. Does it seem likely that... I don't think Landon Donovan had the swine flu when he was in on our show. I think that was before he got it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think he was trying to actually
trying to be funny.
Make a joke there.
Yeah.
Oh, he's trying to be funny. Okay.
Yeah.
And did this intern work at all while he was sick? So there's a possibility that someone at the Kevin and Bean show might still get it?
Yeah, he came
Fingers
in a couple
crossed.
Times when he was sick, and Cleo would, like, scooch her chair over and just be like,
I'd love to get the swine flu. That'd be so cool. I'm never down with the hip diseases. I always get the lame stuff. I want the stuff that's right on.
You just
you know?
Get the chlamydia.
Yeah, right. The usual stuff. Yeah.
And to be honest, he's tired of chlamydia.
So now do we have to be tested, though? Can we shut down K-Rock? Do we get a day off because it's all infected
You know,
now?
In schools, they send everyone home just to be safe.
That's true, and I'm feeling a little flush.
He came in the air studio. It's not just the office. Like,
oh, yeah.
How many days ago was he in last?
Three, I think.
3 days?
Yeah. You could have it.
We all could have
it.
You could
be eating it right now.
That would be awesome.
But after 3 days since exposure, wouldn't you start to be feeling something?
Don't talk sense.
I'm just asking.
Talk a day off, buddy.
We're saying we're not feeling well.
Yeah.
We can't take the day off, though, because there's too much stuff going on. But
yeah, too big a show today.
But
the
might...
next 2 days.
What if we gave Quentin Tarantino the swine flu?
Oh, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
I don't know whether I would be. I don't know whether I'd be the luckiest guy in the world or the least lucky guy in the world to not be in the studio, not get the swine flu, but have to be the only one working.
Yeah, you would be so
by
jealous.
By myself.
So
you better
jealous.
Start planning Monday show, dude.
That's awesome.
It's just going to be you and Doc, because Doc is sequestered from everybody
that's
else.
Right.
So
let me read from the paper.
Well, that's an interesting update. So do we have any interns left? We've got Chip, right?
Right.
Chip
is that it?
Has outlasted a lot of them.
That's
yeah,
correct.
Just Chip.
Last
just Chip.
Chip.
Chip's
yeah.
our last intern. When's the new program? I mean, when's the new semester start so we can get some new blood in here? Because we do get emails all the time from people who want to intern.
Probably mid-September. So email your resumes in at krock.com.
Although I wouldn't count on it being fun. People are bailing on this
they're
show.
They're not
the
having
curse.
A good time.
It's the curse of the Kevin and Bean intern.
They do not want
to
be here.
Dave and I started to make a master list.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. People have gotten sick. Family members have died. Cars have been stolen.
That's true.
But you're not including the chick that broke her jaw and didn't know how the night before. You're not including that.
Oh, no. She's
curse.
A winner.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a gift.
All right.
Not a curse.
All right. Good. Do we have time for what to do? I guess we
Let's
do.
Let's do it.
Sure.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
How about a dang old Kevin and Bean t-shirt? That's what you get at 1-800-520-1067. You give us a call right now. Get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
Did you say how about a gang?
Dang old.
Dang old?
Yeah.
All right. Raymond.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? What to do? Lisa May.
What to
it do?
I want to talk about this J.C. Lee DeGuard, the 29-year-old captive that just came up yesterday.
Yeah, that was...
Unbelievable story.
A really bizarre...
Unbelievable.
For people who haven't heard, recap it quickly.
Okay, real quick. There was a woman snatched up from a bus stop as an 11-year-old out in Placerville.
Kidnapped.
And, 18 years later, there's this guy. What's his name?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, well, Philip Gallardo.
Okay.
Gallardo, he's a convicted felon. They see this guy walking through UC Berkeley with two kids. And his parole officer gives him a call up, basically finds out that he's been keeping this woman kidnapped for 18 years at his place.
In his backyard.
And she had
two kids. In his backyard.
In his backyard, and she had two kids by him.
And they're both there, too.
In the backyard.
Yeah, yes. 11 and 15-year-olds.
They've never been to school. They've never been
Never
out.
Even seen a doctor.
It's unbelievable.
One of the kids is named Blanket. The other kid is named Prince. So that's weird, but that's how it works.
Wow.
Yeah, that was... I didn't get many of the details, and I feel like I have even less listening to Raymond try to explain it. But it is weird. I mean, was this a cold case that they were continuing to work on, or was it just a lucky break that somebody happened to find this kid?
I think it's a lucky break.
It was
break,
a completely
right?
cold case, yeah. but they just got a lucky break. Somebody happened to see a convicted felon, a rapist with two kids, you know?
Yeah.
And probably noticed him from Aiken's Law. Or
he was on the list, too. You check online, and it'll tell you that he's a registered sex offender.
The story I heard was some cops saw him, and the kids were just acting really weird, and it raised his suspicion.
Yeah. That's
thanks for the call. We appreciate that. By the way, the other story that was going around yesterday was the woman who had a suspect for some crime come into her place of work. Did you guys see this one? She's a huge Law & Order SVU fan.
Uh-uh.
So this person came into her place of work, and she saw him use one of those little water dispensers with a paper cup and get some water.
Right.
And she went over, when he left, went over and grabbed the cup and turned it into the cops, and they matched his DNA to a crime and arrested him because
wow.
of this. Wow. She just a Law & Order SVU fan, not somebody in any way affiliated with law enforcement, but working in an office who learned that from the show. And they're talking about now giving her a walk-on on the show because it's her favorite show and stuff. I just thought that was so cool.
But, I mean, did she – what made her suspect him?
I don't know. He was apparently a suspect but had not been you know, completely nailed down to that crime yet.
Huh.
But, see, TV saves lives, people.
That's true, by the way. All right, we have time for one more. Let's go to Justin. Hi.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi.
So, 2 years ago for Thanksgiving, me and my brother are Marines, and we took a fellow Marine home because he had no place to go. Lo and behold, he ends up stabbing me in the back and sleeping with my girlfriend, and recently karma's come back to bite him.
Oh,
and,
no.
And my buddy in 29 Palms is probably the best prankster alive, and he got a brand new phone number. So he walks up to the guy. And says, hey, dude, I saw this chick at a party, and she wanted your number. Gave him some long story. So he gives him his new number. And then they start texting each other like he's the chick. And it just gets dragged out and dragged out and dragged out. And they end up sending him a what is supposedly her, but it's a junk tuck shot.
Right.
And so he's doing some self-motivation in the bathroom to the junk tuck shot. And then to top it off, they're convincing him to buy her a plane ticket to go home with him to meet his family.
Yeah. Excellent.
Before Afghanistan.
Excellent. Good.
And that's when they're going to break the news is when he goes.
Oh, they haven't yet?
No.
Wow.
Still ongoing.
Here's the thing, though. He's a Marine. You're a Marine?
Yep.
You come back for Thanksgiving?
I took him back for Thanksgiving because he had no place to go.
Your ex hot?
Oh, smoking.
He did the right thing. He did the right thing. And as a Marine, you're supposed to say, good on you. That's the code, man. That's the code we Marines live by.
Wait, you're not a Marine, though. You're telling Justin, who is a Marine, what the code is?
Yes, bros before hoes. Should know that.
Well, this was hoes before bros, though. Oh. This guy did.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
Justin, let us know how that plays out. That's fascinating. We should do a phone topic. It's been a long time since we've done that elaborate pranks that you played on your friends. Where you got him believing something, and it turned out to be something else.
Yeah, remember Tad, Hooker, you?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Rob Zombie's on the program today to tell us about Halloween 2, which is coming out.
I want a good movie.
Today. We have Adam Carolla in studio, This Week in Range.
Yeah.
We have Movie Beat. Ralph is back from jury duty, so he can do the showbiz, which we're very excited about.
Can't wait to hear about that, by the way. I wonder if he's actually secretly bummed that he didn't get to go on further once he got a little bit further into the process and learned what the case was about.
Yeah, I don't know. We also have Boss Rutan on the program today talking about the IMA, the International MMA Expo, and Quentin Tarantino.
Woohoo!
In our studios, the writer and director of Inglourious Basterds. So.
Man, I seen that movie too and I fell asleep on it.
Ralph is next with the Showbiz Beat.
It is finally Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lisa May, do me a favor. Walk over there and kiss Ralph Garman for me, please, on behalf of Kevin and Bean, on behalf of the listeners, on behalf of America, for getting out of jury duty and coming back.
Here
we
go. But do it like Bean would. Great. Not on his face. No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where's the webcam now?
Yeah.
That was a good kiss.
Well, that's a welcome back.
That sure is.
Wow.
I got to go to jury duty more often.
What I'm saying, Ralph,
is
we could
not. Swine flu.
I know.
That'd be awesome.
We could not be more delighted to see you, I think is what I'm saying.
Well, it's good to be missed and good to be back.
Welcome back. So, time for the Showbiz Beat. Next hour, Ralph's going to tell us how it went down in the mean streets of the justice system.
It was quite the experience.
It is eye-opening when you see it up close and in person, that's for sure.
I have many thoughts, and I look forward to sharing them all with you.
Okay.
It was very fascinating.
However much detail you give us, though, I would like to point out is not going to be enough detail for Bean. You might,
I know.
You might write a book about it.
I'm going to write my memoirs about the 2-day experience of jury duty and send Bean the manuscript.
Meanwhile, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Now it's time for another edition of...
Nope.
White Trash with Money.
White Trash with Money.
Yeah. This is breaking news from TMZ.com, my favorite entertainment news website. Last night, outside a club here in Los Angeles called Guys and Dolls, I guess it was this morning, because really it was...
It was after midnight.
The
after
wee
midnight.
Hours. Yeah. Brody Jenner got into a fight with Joe Francis, creator of Girls Gone Wild.
Wow.
This story is the Jerry Springer Show plus cash.
Come to life.
These are the people from the Jerry Springer Show.
Yeah.
If you gave them a fortune, this is how they would behave. Let me recap for you. Brody Jenner was at the club with his girlfriend, Jade Nicole.
Ooh,
she is the Playmate of the Year. She was Playmate of the Year,
last
right?
Year.
Last year, yeah. They were celebrating when Jade and Brody Jenner saw Joe Francis, who is a legendary scumbag, harassing one of his ex-girlfriends.
Okay.
And now Jade knows this girl. She thought he was being relentless.
Too aggressive.
Too aggressive.
Yeah.
So she threw a drink in his face, in Joe Francis's face.
Okay.
Joe Francis then pulls Jade Nicole by the hair and punches her in the face.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Throws her to the ground and starts to kick her.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Security throws Joe Francis out of the club. Brody Jenner follows. They start to fight outside. Brody apparently punched Joe in the face. Then somebody tased Brody Jenner.
Yes!
And he fell to the ground.
Awesome.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me, Joe.
I think is what he said.
Don't tase me, bro.
Joe Francis then fled the scene, and the cops showed up. No word yet on if they found Joe Francis, but apparently Jade says she is pressing charges.
Excellent.
She's got a bruised face. Bruised ribs, sore lower abdomen, and some of her hair was pulled out.
Wow. Usually I like girl fights. That one does not sound sexy.
Yeah, well, because it was a dude and a girl fight.
Yeah.
It was Joe Francis beating up on a playmate. Which is- and that just happened.
Microphones were there.
So there's your white trash with money update. Look, that is what happens in, like, Wyoming on a Saturday night outside, a roadhouse, right?
That's what happens. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
You know, all the money in the world can't buy you class.
No.
I think Joe Francis is a bigger douchebag than Brody Jenner, and I'm no fan of Brody Jenner.
Brody Jenner's just a zero. He's just a haircut. He's got nothing going on.
Right. He's a zero.
I don't want to defend anybody here, but, I mean, you can't really blame Brody Jenner, right? If a dude's kicking his girlfriend.
No, absolutely. But, I mean, the whole situation, hair pulling and drink throwing and kicking and the taser at the end just really is the cherry on the cake. So. All right. Let's talk about happier news, shall we?
Kay. How can you? That was the best.
That really was the best. Minka Kelly.
Ah!
Yes. Is apparently making plans to become Mrs. Derek Jeter.
Okay.
You should have heard Bean going off about that yesterday.
Oh, did you do a story already? All right,
No. It's not that just because he's already had fill in the blank, Vanessa Minnello and Jessica Alba and
herpes.
Jessica Biel and herpes and Mariah Carey. I mean, the list is just, it's ridiculous.
Now it's one of Bean's crushes and he's
the tail he pulls.
He's not going to put up with Kelly. It. She's on Friday Night Lights show, right?
Yes.
Apparently they are set to tie the knot at the end of the baseball season, according to the New York Post. And they would know because they're right there in New York.
That's true.
That's where he is.
I'm guessing that's not going to happen, though.
You're guessing that?
No, I mean, he's single. He's a shortstop for the Yankees. He's getting all this tail.
He likes the ladies.
No way.
All right. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Natalie Portman
did
an interview this week with Interview Magazine. That's a good place to do an interview, I find.
Yeah.
Interview Magazine.
It's appropriate.
Where she reveals a lot about herself that people just didn't know. She said she loves to listen to really dirty, really, really obscene rap.
All right.
And we've heard her rap herself in a dirty, obscene way.
We're sitting here today with film star Natalie Portman.
Hello.
So, Natalie, what's a day in the life of Natalie Portman like?
I don't sleep, motherfucker, off that yak and that Durbin. Doing 120, getting hit while I'm swerving.
Damn, Natalie, you a crazy chick.
You shut the up and suck my d-
So you got that.
So
you got that working.
That was the real deal right there. She says that she loves Carvel ice cream cakes.
Okay.
It's one of her favorite foods.
All right.
I'm Fudgy the Whale.
You ever seen Carvel ice cream? You probably don't know Carvel ice cream.
I don't.
I think it was an East Coast deal.
Oh, was it?
She grew up in New York, and I grew up in Philly, and so that was a big deal, Carvel ice cream cakes.
All right.
They used to have a cake called Fudgy the Whale. It was shaped like a whale, and his name was Fudgy.
Add that to your list of sex positions, too. I'm sure there is one.
And the guy, Tom Carvel, who ran the Carvel ice cream chain, would do all the voices for his own his own commercials. He was like the Crazy Gideon of ice cream cakes.
He would do Fudgy?
And he would do the voice of Fudgy. And it was the worst thing ever. They would show like a still of the cake and go, "Hi, I'm Fudgy the Whale. Come eat me at Carvel ice cream stores." It was the worst commercials ever.
Ralph, you've heard Cookie Puss, right?
Yeah, Cookie Puss, too.
The first Beastie Boys record, Kevin, was them. It was an awesome beat, and they're crank calling a Carvel ice cream store asking about the Cookie Puss, which was another one of their...
Cookie Puss was another character of the ice cream cake. Yeah,
that's awesome.
She also said she would like to be a bike messenger if her acting career ever fails.
Okay.
Miss Natalie Portman. And she is scared to death of Gargamel from the Smurfs cartoons. Still to this day.
All right.
This is you call a freewheeling interview.
Apparently.
Lack of focus, perhaps.
You get the sense the journalist just put down a tape recorder and left the room.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Just give me a list of weird things about you. I got to go. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Brody Jenner got tased.
That is funny.
I wish there was video.
Oh, me too. Today's celebrity birthdays, Leanne Rimes, country western singer, needs a good cut man.
Yeah.
Needs, that ice-cold piece of metal they put under your eye during a fight just to take away the swelling.
Yeah.
That's what she needs. Need a little work in the corner. She's 27 years old today. Jason Priestley from 90210 is 40, as is our buddy Jack Black of Tenacious D and many, many feature films. Shania Twain turns 44 years old today. Actress Jennifer Coolidge, who's very funny, is 48. Actor Daniel Stern is 52. And actress Carly Pope, you may remember her from Popular.
Yep.
And she was also one of my co-stars in Two for the Money.
She came in.
She did come in. Yeah. She is lovely and talented and Canadian.
They kept her in the movie, if I recall, right? Two for the Money. She actually showed up when we went to see it in the theaters, right?
You know what? You watch your step or you won't get any jury duty stories.
I apologize, Mr. Garman.
That's what I thought.
The ultimate torture for him.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Well, I got to tell you, various cities take this action when they have a severe drought, which Los Angeles has had for a while.
Yeah.
The city law says residents can only run their sprinklers on certain days. So you're not supposed to run your sprinklers on, for example, any other day except for Monday and Thursday.
Right.
That's the law. And they were having a press conference celebrating the city's reduction in water use. That's what the press conference was about. And one of the reporters asked Mayor Villaraigosa a very interesting question.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, discussing the findings of an NBC4 investigation, exposing violations of the city's sprinkler restrictions at the mayor's own residence. We found the mayor's backyard sprinklers watering his lawn at 2 a.m. on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. All days when watering is banned by law.
Were you aware the sprinklers were running?
The answer is no. As I said, you informed me. That was pretty good.
The mayor blames a glitch in the sprinkler system installed 2 years ago. And he boasted that overall water use at his home is way down. But didn't he ever hear his sprinklers running on all those illegal nights?
The sprinklers are so loud in your backyard you can hear them from the street. How could you not have heard them?
I sleep very heavily, and I couldn't hear it.
All right.
By the way, I love the reporter. He feels like he's got Watergate.
He does, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the same intensity, didn't you know your teenage kids were dealing drugs, he asked, Mr. Mayor, didn't you know your sprinklers were going off?
Oh, this is his biggest story ever. And, people go, that could happen. I could see that. But we figured we would talk to Mayor Villaraigosa, so we have a pretty good relationship with him. Mayor Villaraigosa.
Good morning. How's your doing?
We're doing well. How about you?
You sound so different when you talk to us on the phone than you do, for instance, in the tape from the press conference that we just played. What's up with that?
I enjoy me with friends, man.
Right.
So I can be myself.
Oh, I see. So this is the real you.
So what about the undercover investigation that revealed that you're basically running water outside in your house in violation of your own policy 24/7?
Whatever. I did not know.
Wait, is that what we hear in the background?
What is that?
Hold on. Let me turn that off real quick.
What was that?
What was it?
I'm taking a bath.
taking a bath.
Yeah,
okay, well,
actually, I'm getting out right now. Just put on the shower real quick.
You just took a bath. Why do you need a shower?
Oh, stupid, because when you're taking a bath, you sit down and on the bathtub and you get that soap scum.
Right.
And so you got to wash off with the shower.
Well, then why don't you just take a shower to begin with?
Oh, shut up! Why don't you just cut your tongue out? God, I'm blah, blah, blah.
Such a question. Jeez.
Are you firing a gun in your own bathroom, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Well, I would imagine that you know what holes in your wall.
Why don't you just brush your teeth? Why don't you just comb your hair? A stupid question.
Well, we're supposed to be saving water.
All right, I'm going to walk downstairs. Going to go to my kitchen, maybe make a little breakfast.
Okay. What are you shooting now?
Huh?
What? You just shoot red. What is that?
That's my dishwasher. I had a tablespoon of peanut butter, so
right.
I needed to wash that spoon.
You're doing a whole cycle just for the spoon?
Yes!
Okay, it sounds...
Are you going to ask any normal questions?
Well, why are you wasting so much water when there's a drought? Mr. Mayor, you're wasting water and there's a drought. That's the point of the call today. But wait, you're the one telling...
And bullets, by the way.
What's that?
That's my washing machine. Why? Oh, my God. Are you a retarder?
And what'd you do? Get a shirt dirty?
No. I didn't like the tie I was wearing, so I changed my tie, and I decided maybe I'd just throw this one in the washing machine.
Okay, but we've been on the phone with you for 3 minutes. You've already used 1,000 gallons.
I have a pair of socks, too.
Okay.
All right. Let's go outside. I'm going to walk to my car.
Okay.
Keep those on all day. Thank you.
Those are your sprinklers?
Yes!
Okay, you're not supposed to be running your sprinklers today, Mr. Mayor. It's your policy.
Oh, my God. My ears are bleeding with all the dumb questions.
Well, you're
what
the one,
do you mean?
You're the person telling us.
What am I supposed to do about my grass?
Well, it dies like ours dies.
It can't turn brown. It can't die.
Right now, it's Monday, Thursday.
Okay,
that's your rule.
I've had about enough of this.
All right.
Okay, turn that off.
All right.
Can you fire that up, please? Yeah.
What's that?
That's the fire hose.
What are you doing with that?
Well, a couple of droplets of the water from the sprinklers got on my sidewalk.
Right.
That connects my lawn to my sidewalk, and I can't have that. I've got to wash away the water droplets.
So you're hosing it down with a fire hose?
Yes!
From a hydrant?
Why is it so hard for you to understand?
It's not. It's just...
Oh, God!
It seems like you're saying one thing to
Take
us.
Take your vocal cords,
all right.
Rip them out, and just throw them in a blender.
Okay.
It's like putting pencils in my ears. Stupid question.
Do we put anything else in the blender with our vocal cords? Come on, that was a setup for water.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah, mix it with water.
All right.
Yeah, fantastic.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Speaking of prisoner of society, man, you were down there at the courthouse for 2 long days.
I was.
Pete is so jealous.
Jury duty.
For a long time, Bean wanted jury duty, wanted it, and no one would ever ask him.
And everyone else was getting it around here.
Yeah.
And he would get furious
when
we would get it and he wouldn't.
Well, it's just that I believe in the system, and I think the system only works if you participate in it. That's
Let
why.
Let me tell you something about the system.
Okay.
It blows. And it is scary as hell.
Why?
Because I was sitting there surrounded. Now, by the way, this is not, I'm not saying I'm all that. I'm not all that in a bag of chips. But I was surrounded by a bunch of really stupid people.
Right.
Who are going to decide someone's fate.
That's what I was thinking as I was looking around. I said, this is the ultimate motivation not to do bad things. Above and beyond everything else, if you get busted and you get into a courtroom and you get judged by a jury, you are going to be judged by really stupid people.
But isn't that also on the flip side of that, incentive to want to be on a jury to replace one of those dolts that otherwise would be deciding
well,
the case.
Well, here's the thing. I was very flippant about it, and I'd never done jury duty before, and I was looking for ways to get out, and I didn't want to participate. But once I got down there and got into it, I started to get into it.
Yeah.
I really wanted to participate. I was sort of bummed when they dismissed me yesterday that I wasn't going to be – I was what they call impaneled, which is they take about 40 people into a room.
And then they start asking you questions, both the prosecutor and the defense attorney. And the judge gives you certain guidelines. They tell you what the case is going to be about. And they start to interview you. And then the attorneys get to whittle down
right
to 12 people, and they get to choose their jury. So I was impaneled. I was in that process. And I was in the upper echelon of people till almost the very end there. And then I was one of the last people they let go
yesterday. You were in the jury box?
I was in the jury box, yeah.
Do you know
and
why
then
you they feel, let you go?
They
you
don't
feel
tell
like,
you.
You feel like a little bummed, like you said, because you feel like, why wasn't I good enough? Why didn't I make the cut? Hey, what's wrong with me?
I said last night to my wife, it's like being rejected by a really ugly girl that you didn't want to dance with anyway.
In the first place.
And you go up to the ugly girl and you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to do her a favor. I'm going to ask her to dance because no one's going to ask her to dance.
Right.
She goes, no
not
thanks.
Really,
I'm
thanks.
Like, wait, how could you say no to me? Look at you and then look at me.
Now, what kind of questions did they ask, Ralph? And did you have to answer any? Were you part of a discussion where they actually heard what you thought on something, and that's what may have turned them against you, or what?
They don't tell you why they cut you loose. They just say thank you for your service, juror 14. You can go.
Is that right?
And the thing was, they do ask you a ton of questions because obviously the defense attorney is trying to find people that will benefit his client.
Will side with him.
And the prosecutor is trying to find someone who will benefit their side.
Right.
But what stunned me was the ignorance of any sort of rudimentary sense of how the justice system works in the United States on behalf of the people who were sitting in that box.
Not everybody was an officer of the law on NYPD Blue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? You don't even have to.
You were Officer Gruden.
Through osmosis, you should have had picked up at some point in your life.
If you own a television, you should know basically how it works,
yes.
Right?
The judge would say, can someone tell me what the burden of proof means? And just blank looks throughout the entire courtroom. All right, you don't have to tell me that, but who has the burden of proof, the defense side or the prosecution side? Silence. I mean, it was stunning to me how people didn't recognize that the very simple fact of the prosecution has to be able to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that this person is guilty.
Answer, prosecution.
And the prosecutor, she was asking questions, trying to figure out who the jurors were, and was getting such little response from people that she eventually broke down to this story, and I'm not kidding. Janie and Billy, have both been told no cookies before dinner. Now, if you walk into the kitchen and you see Billy push the cookie jar towards Janie and she pulls out two cookies and they're both eating cookies, is Billy just as guilty of eating cookies before dinner than Janie is? Nothing. And I'm looking around saying, oh, my God, this guy's going to go to the big house because these people don't understand whether Janie should eat the cookie or not.
This guy was on trial for eating cookies?
No, that's the point.
Right.
It was like a fifth grade math class where they broke down the word problems into like the most basic tenets and people could not grasp
them. And you spoke up and said,
this is BS,
no,
man!
But it was Billy and Janie together?
They're both guilty.
Right, both
yes,
guilty.
That's
what it is.
Did you
both
at any point guilty. Get to yell, I'm out of order, you're out of order, the whole court's out of order, or anything like that? You know what I think cost me is, first of all, I think they don't want people who are too thoughtful. I think they want people that they can sort of direct,
guide,
and point them in the direction they want them to go in.
They want me is what you're
That's
saying.
That's what I think, yeah. Because I was asked by the prosecutor, the DA, she was there, and she said, Juror 14, do you think that this is the do you have strong positive feelings about the justice system in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
And this was after all this had gone on for 2 days. And I said, well, I think it has some flaws, but I think it's the best of all possible systems, yes. And she looked at me like, oh, this guy's going to be trouble.
That's a good answer, though. And it's a truthful answer.
I thought so. But apparently she wanted a little more rah-rah sort of,
just blind faith in the system or whatever.
Love it or leave it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So maybe that was what cost
it.
Did you ever find out what kind of case it would have been had you been seated? Oh, yeah, because they bring you into the room. They show you the defendant, and they say, this is the case. These are his charges. This is what he's being brought up on.
And you yelled immediately, guilty!
I screamed.
Come on, that would have been your ticket out.
You know all the funny stuff we said to do to get out? When you're sitting there, and you're staring at the judge, and they're throwing around words like jail and contempt and things, you don't really feel like being the court jester.
We were saying yesterday, judges don't seem to have much of a sense of humor.
They really don't. So I did not scream at any point, guilty, or I didn't wet myself in the jury. Jury.
All those good examples we gave you.
All the things I thought I was going to do, I opted out of because I was scared. But
so
it was a burglary case,
The gentleman in question was accused of burglary and attempted burglary, or two separate counts. That
you think he did it?
Guilty. So, yeah, so I didn't get a chance to, but you start thinking, because as it got whittled down and whittled down, there was only like, you know, 20 people left, and I was one of 12, and I was sitting in the jury box. I was like, I am so going to be the foreman on this jury. I'm going to get in the back room. It's, all right, people, let's take a vote here. I'm like playing it out in my head how I was going to run the jury.
No,
and then out of nowhere.
Not so much.
Juror 14, you can go.
What?
You've seen so many TV shows and so many movies. I mean, you had to be thinking it was 12 Angry Men or one of those that you were just totally going to like change the system because you were inside it and you were going to make it work.
Yes, I was like everyone was going to be like 11 votes against me. I was going to be the one guy, and then little by little, I would win them over
over the course of months.
Yes, exactly. We'd all be pestered. We have to go to a hotel someplace.
Is it at all possible that you're not as smart as you thought?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But I'm not as dumb as the other people. Okay. How about that?
All right, good.
Let me tell you first that I've been around. I've been a bouncer for many, many years.
Boss Rutan.
Never look away from your opponent.
Boom!
That's the left elbow right there.
And I slit your throat.
I have a stabbing device.
Boss Rutan.
And I promise you, that will hurt.
Bang, bang, bang.
Punch. Headbutt out of nothing. Punch, and you can hit, and you can stab it like this.
Boss Rutan.
Boom! The right elbow. Bring right straight. Maybe now the headbutt. Comes. Knee to the face.
Oh,
that is gonna hurt him.
Bang, bang.
It is that easy. A Boss Rutan.
It is always a thrill for us on the Kevin and Bean Show when El Wapo is able to join us, and we got him on the phone right now. Boss, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
I'm doing good. It's that easy, right? I'm saying that is funny, that clip. I heard it before when I was on with you guys.
Yep. We like playing it because it sounds like you're a little crazy.
Like crazy, but I'm also having a little bit fun.
Sure, of course.
Yes, you certainly are. So, Boss, before we talk about the big event this weekend going on at the Los Angeles Convention Center, which really does sound like a fantastic event, what participation do you have in anything UFC right now? Are you doing any kind of training or advising or anything like that?
You know, I'm doing a seminar there, an autograph session, but what I'm going to show is also my Boss system, the Body Action Stand. It's a punch-kicking device that you can beat the crap out of, so to say, and you don't get hurt, no impact on the joints. Great machine.
So it's a way to train?
It's a way to train, yeah, and I train every time on it already because I got tendonitis, you know, and my knees are not that good, so I have no cartilage on my kneecaps, which is kind of a big problem.
Sure.
Something they can't fix.
There's that. There's the lack of cartilage. That's not good.
Wow. How old are you, Boss?
What do you mean? How I am?
No, how old are you?
Oh, 44. 44 years old.
So what do you make of a guy like Randy Couture who's fighting this weekend at what? He's older than you are, isn't he, 45, 46?
Yeah, he's 45. But you know what, Randy, I think he trained smarter and he started later, way later in his career. You know, I started competing as, also later in my career at 28, but before that I already thai boxed from like 24 on. I had a whole bunch of fights. You know, I think I got like 50% more fights than Randy had. Plus, my training is just nuts. I just go balls. Everybody trains 4.5 hours a day. I train 2 times 1 hour. But I have people coming in and they can't even do the warm-up. So wow. It's 100% go.
What do you do with all that adrenaline and all the energy that you used to use getting ready to fight? And now you don't have that anymore. What do you do with the aggression?
Well, the aggression is easy. I can't keep that in me because otherwise, you know, it's going to be one of those, news persons. I like now I rock climb. I like stuff like that. You know, every time I look for something that's kind of, you know, that has a little, getting high in it then.
Right.
For like a better word.
So you always have to have something that gets you close to death in order to make it a happy day, right?
Yeah. The closer, the better it is, right?
I like it. And you're going to beat people up at the IMA, at the International MMA Expo. You're going to actually fight everyone? Is that what I heard?
No. If I would have ever, they have to sign a waiver. But, and again, you know, that I have a problem with my knee, so it's,
sure.
You know, I can do a bunch of guys. I can do a bunch of guys, but not all of them.
Okay. Psycho Mike, you've done a bunch of guys, right? I mean, it's very similar.
In the shower,
that's very different.
You guys
so the.
Come. You guys should come. We'll get to some demonstrations there. What about that?
We can play the dummies, right?
We got those. We got a lot of stuff to do.
The Los Angeles Convention Center this weekend is the, as we mentioned, the IMMAE. And if you haven't heard about this, it's a jam-packed weekend of trade, exposition, fan interaction, education on the sport. Boss is going to be there. He's going to be doing demonstrations and speaking and signing autographs and stuff like that. What other names from the sport might we know that are going to be there, Boss, this weekend?
Oh, man, pretty much everybody, if you think. Randy Couture, Frank Shamrock, with a bit of little luck, we got Anderson Silva. All the big guys that are here right now, some of them are in Brazil, of course, the champions, but if they're here, you can count on it that they're going to be there.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be huge. You're going to see Psycho Mike there in his affliction Speedo, and he's going to be yelling, "Who's got roids?" So that's how you'll recognize him.
All right.
Good.
Love it.
Just keep your eyes out for that. All right, so you're going to be there from noon to 3, both days.
Both days. I'm going to sit at the HDNet studios. As you know, I got that TV show on HDNet Inside MMA every
right.
week. And we're sitting there with HNET, just a booth. And next to the booth, I have on a booth of my own. I brought some crazy shirts, like the liver shot shirts and got cojones, you know, right. shirts like that. I generic.
Got cojones. Well, it sounds like fun. And I bet you're the kind of celebrity, Boss, that fans feel is approachable. That you probably have people come up to you and stop you all the time because you seem like you're such a fun guy to talk to.
Yeah, I really do. Yesterday, I read an interview that my wife had to do for somebody. They asked for women's or fighters' interviews, and yeah, it was pretty cool to read how that it goes through her eyes, and that she mentions that because we can't go anywhere, and people come up on a basis. But it's so cool because they're from 6-year-old till. I mean, I have people that are like over 75 years old. It's insane.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's bizarre. Well, this sounds like a really cool event. The website is immae.tv if you'd like to go find out some more information. And Boss Rutan will be there from noon to 3 each day at the HDNet booth.
Okay.
Signing autographs and meeting people.
Boss, bada bing, bada boom.
Thank you very much for talking to us. We appreciate it.
All right. Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you.
The way God meant the Showbiz Beat to be.
Thank you so much.
We apologize for the last 2 days of what the listeners have had to endure with Ralph out.
I sure get a lot of emails when you guys do Showbiz.
I bet you do.
I sure do.
Best I've ever heard,
that's
stuff like
that.
A lot
that. Of those, yeah, a lot yeah. of that. A lot of them. You are not missed. Glad you're gone. Okay. Kevin and Bean kick Showbiz ass.
And those are from me, mostly
from you, yeah. Yeah. Another thing about jury duty, not one hot chick.
Hot chicks don't have to be in jury duty.
I have no idea, but apparently there is a weight and looks bar with which you must go under in order to become a juror.
How about that?
400
hey, that's
people.
How they got you.
400 people in the main room.
Right.
Looked around, not one hot chick to occupy my fantasies while I was sitting there waiting to be called.
Did you, wow. not that you were looking for, but any hot dudes, or is it just chicks?
Plenty hot dudes, trust me.
I don't, yeah.
That L.A. courthouse bathroom goes off.
Does it?
During juror selection. Yeah,
wow,
a lot
right.
of tapping underneath the stalls.
All right.
A lot of crossing shoes, if you know what I'm saying.
Mike's going to sign up today.
Yes, he will. Talk about showbiz, shall we? Any story that involves Brody Jenner getting tased is all right with me.
Yeah, that's a good story.
This coming from TMZ.com, breaking news that happened just this morning in the early morning hours outside a bar called Guys and Dolls here in Los Angeles. Brody Jenner got into a fight with Girls Gone Wild creator Joe Francis. That has been my celebrity boxing fantasy for years now, and it's finally come true. Apparently, Jenner was there celebrating his birthday with his girlfriend Jade Nicole, who, if you've never seen, by the way, is a former Playmate of the Year. And she saw Joe Francis harassing his ex-girlfriend, who's also a friend of hers. She threw a drink in Joe Francis's face. He grabbed Jade Nicole by the hair, this is Joe Francis, punched her in the face and threw her to the ground and began to kick her in the ribs.
Wow.
Dude. Security broke it up. Francis got dragged away. Brody followed. They started going at it outside the club. Jenner punched Joe in the face. Apparently then someone, he's not sure who, tased him.
Yay!
Who's carrying the taser, by the way, Guys and Dolls? Who's packing the taser?
It wasn't the cops?
No! Cops hadn't even showed up yet.
with some masked taser.
Security, maybe? I don't know. That seems weird.
If this story turns out to be true all the way through, I'm going to be so happy to see Joe Francis go back to jail.
Yeah, that's got to be a violation of some sort of probation, right?
Sure.
And he's got 19 different charges he's battling. So he's
on top of that, it sounds like, actual simple assault.
Well, Jade said she will press charges against Joe Francis, so it looks like he's in a world of legal hurt once again.
Back in the hooscow.
Just my luck. I've burned my one jury duty card for a year. I won't be able to get on this one. That's the jury you want to get on.
No yeah, kidding. You would request this one. How happy would you be for your whole life if you got to be on a jury that sent Joe Francis to prison?
I would, I would get T-shirts made up. I put Joe Francis away. That's what I would get T-shirts made up and never wear anything else. I would just be signing autographs and opening supermarkets, cutting red ribbons.
Sure. He'd be a hero.
Paul Abdul, back in the news. Still not going to do American Idol, apparently. But she's not out of work. Because, according to sources, she is in serious talks with three different Las Vegas hotel casinos about launching her own stage show.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
How would you like to go to Vegas to catch the Paula Abdul show?
Not even a little bit.
She wants to do one of those sit-downs like Cher and Bette Midler and Elton John. There's a bunch of big celebrities who have parked it in Vegas for a number of years, and they do regular shows
but
there.
But they're talented.
That's true. They do have...
And they have a body of work that people still enjoy.
Hey,
no one cares about hearing Knocked Out.
I want a cold-hearted snake. Look into his eyes.
Wow.
He's been telling lies. Come on.
Just watching you. I feel what you're just feeling so much joy, and it's exciting. I feel I'm one big goosebump, and I just am so excited for you because look at you. I mean, this is it for you. This is it for you. You're selling it.
Gonna miss that.
If she just did that on stage for 90 minutes, I'd go.
That's true.
That was terrible. I mean, seriously terrible.
Yeah, it was.
One step forward, two steps back. Opposites attract, because you know.
These are crappy pop songs that Paula Abdul did. If
you don't need to explain to people.
Them.
They know. Everyone knows, Kevin.
I don't know how long.
Everyone knows.
Her songs haven't been played in.
Paula Abdul's Now and Forever, like Cats.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so apparently the Venetian, the Wynn, and the Hilton are all in talks with Miss Abdul.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that would draw.
That just means...
I think you're wrong. I know we're laughing.
Really?
And we would have no interest, but Donnie and Marie packs them in, people.
Yeah, but Donnie and Marie had a career for decades of popular television programs and hit records.
But they they were crap.
Yes.
And so is she. And she's been on the biggest television show in the world for 5 years, or how long it's been.
Right.
I think people will come from the flyover states in their Winnebagos, and they'll go to Vegas, and they'll say, "Hey, Gladys, it's that girl from the TV." And excellent. And they'll go see Paula Abdul. I'm just saying. We'll wait and see.
I'd like to be on the jury that puts her away.
That she's not accused of anything, being.
Yeah.
Jason Biggs, our buddy from American Pie.
Love him.
Has been attacked by a monkey.
Oh, no.
Is that code?
Nope.
Oh, no.
He was on the Rock of Gibraltar.
Are we playing Mad Libs again? Jason Biggs,
no
monkey
way.
Rock of Gibraltar.
Jason Biggs was visiting the Rock of Gibraltar, and apparently there are a troop of monkeys that live on the Rock of Gibraltar called the Barbary Apes.
Oh, my God.
When suddenly one leapt from a tree onto Jason and tried to bite his face off.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That is not what you want.
Monkeys are apparently a protected species on the island. And he had to leave the vacation early and head home because he was attacked by a monkey.
By the way, a monkey that was training for war. Try out some of its skills. Those monkeys are taking over people.
He was a commando monkey.
That's right.
And
enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
No, I'm sorry. Those were the snakes, not the monkeys. My bad.
Apparently, he's okay, but he was shaken up. As you can imagine, if a monkey jumps out of a tree and lands on you, you're going to be shaken up.
We need to speak with our friend Jason Biggs, yes, producer Alex. If you're listening to the other room, please get Mr. Biggs on the phone for us.
I would fall to the ground and cry like a baby, I think.
I would
play dead.
Yeah. The shock would kill me. The monkey wouldn't even have to do anything. Because you see a monkey land on you and it's all over.
I really do look at monkeys differently since the story a couple years ago, the woman who got her face ripped off. I mean, I know that, you know, not all monkeys are going to do that, but it changed my whole worldview about how cool monkeys are when I saw how destructive they could be in such a short period of time.
They are...
they're wild
animals,
killers.
People. Yeah. They're the most dangerous animal in the world.
Oh. I don't think that's true.
It is now.
Okay.
I just said it.
All right.
With no factual backup whatsoever. I am just dubbing them so.
That's my favorite kind of science.
I know you like that. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Speaking of monkeys. Nope. Got no tie.
Careful. Careful. I don't know what you're going to say, but careful.
No, I got no tie.
Words
in
can
here.
Hurt.
I got no tie in. I was gonna,
well, let's listen to the birthdays and
I
see.
I was going to go for Jennifer Coolidge sort of is ugly joke, but I couldn't tie it in. I couldn't make it happen. You know Jennifer Coolidge, she's an American Pie with Jason Biggs.
She's great.
She's a very funny actress. She was in Legally Blonde.
Oh, okay.
And she's a...
Best in Show.
She was the mom that... Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But she's got those giant puffed up lips and everything.
Yeah.
She's looking odd these days.
Crazy looking, yeah.
Yeah, she's 48 years old today. Actor Daniel Stern is 52. Shania Twain.
Oh!
You know, I'm no country music fan. I don't know if you know this about me or not. I'm not a big fan of the country music.
Yeah.
But that's Shania Twain.
Yeah, she's the real deal.
She's 44 years old and she is diabolical.
But Bean, correct me if I'm wrong, she's the worst type of country music, isn't she?
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
really
horrible.
Like the worst
How do you categorize that?
Comparatively, she's really...
No, she is horrible. But the thing about her that I love is that her husband left her for a beast.
Yeah.
And her husband was ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Left her one of the hottest women ever.
That's how ugly he was. His name was Mutt.
Yeah,
that was his
name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's all right. Jack Black, our buddy from Tenacious D, turns 40 years old today, as does Jason Priestley of Beverly Hills 90210 fame. Carly Pope, star of the TV series Popular, she is 29 years old today, and singer Leanne Rimes, another country singer. Shania Twain, Leanne Rimes, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree.
She's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You know, we've been so busy this week with so many things going on, we haven't had a chance to talk about the famous he-she runner that's been causing the sensation in the news over the last few days.
Oh, the man-woman. Oh, yes. I don't know if you've seen this dude-girl in the news, but it is quite a story.
The world may now be asking whether track star Caster Semenya is really a woman, but her family in South Africa insists she is female. And they say Semenya's been dealing with these questions for years. Her cousin today said Semenya's own family used to tease her about being a boy.
Calling her a boy in public didn't affect her because she was used to being called a boy by her family.
Semenya is now undergoing a rigorous series of tests to determine her gender. Tests that include a gynecologist to examine her genitals, an endocrinologist to examine her hormones, and an internal medicine specialist to look at her organs.
That is a lot of looking at her.
God.
That's a lot of testing.
Wow.
Look, We've all seen people that we can't immediately identify man or woman. Usually they're young and they've got long hair and you just can't tell whether it's a boy or a girl. If you saw this woman though, she really does look like a hybrid because she's got the muscular build of a man. She has no breasts at all.
Yeah.
And her voice is deeper than mine. So
here's the thing. She came out of nowhere to win a race in a women's, you know, event and beat the second place by like 2 seconds. And nobody had ever really, she'd never really done well before.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they were like, how did this girl do it?
Wait,
then they looked at her and it looks like a dude. Sounds like a dude.
Well, we, of course, need to get to the bottom of this. So producer Alex has been able to line up on the phone from South Africa. Caster Semenya joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Caster. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
Are you running? Are you running right now?
Yes, I am in training right now.
Is this a bad time?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Are you on a treadmill or are you running around South Africa?
No, I am running in Limpopo.
Where?
Limpopo.
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 That is the province where I grew up in South Africa.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, what about the controversy? Is it something you expected when you went professional, or is it still a little bit embarrassing to have people question your sex?
I am used to it, because even when I was a little girl, everyone would question my sex.
Right.
My name is Caster.
Sure.
And in school, they would call me Cast Him. Hey, but I'm pumped.
Hey, but seriously.
But I want to tell you.
All right, now let me ask you this.
DeVille.
When you were in school, yes, and you had to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
You went to...
The bathroom. I would go to the bathroom.
Right, but which one?
We only had one.
Boys or girls?
We had a hole in the ground.
Oh.
I would go into the hole.
Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah. Oh, hey now. Stand up or sit down?
It depends. Number one or number two.
All right. Well, I mean, that would be a hint. If you're standing up for number one, it seems to me that that would be more like a guy.
You had to stand up. It was a hole in the ground. Right. What are you going to sit on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that doesn't help. When you
were growing up, did you wear panties or boxers?
We did not have money for underwear when I was a little child. Right. I would just wear a leaf.
A leaf?
Yes.
A big leaf or
everyone,
a little leaf?
Everyone wore a leaf.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Right. In my country of South Africa, in the province of Limpopo.
Limpopo, right.
Did your siblings consider you their brother or sister?
Of course my brother and sister considered me a sibling. Of course, right, we were all siblings together.
But did they consider you their brother or sister?
Of course. They were my brother and sister, so we all felt we were one family.
Right.
Okay,
when you shave, do you shave your legs and your face?
Of course, I
or
shave
just
legs
your legs
because I need to be wind resistant, so I keep my hair very short.
Right, and your face as well?
Of course.
Oh, all right.
But I have no hair on my face.
Well, then why do you shave it?
Because I have little peach fuzz.
Oh, I see.
They get caught in the wind.
No, that doesn't help.
In my province of Limpopo.
That doesn't help at all.
Yeah. Right. Wow. How else can we tell? See, what I'm learning from this story.
Have you ever been to a gynecologist?
Of course I have been to a gynecologist.
Oh.
Because I wanted to know why my testicles were so big.
That must have been very confusing for the gynecologist.
Not so much once she moved my penis out of the way.
Okay. Now we know.
Okay, all right. Thanks for taking...
Hey! How about the movie beat?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies... Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Once again, I'm going to take a look at the big movies this weekend without having seen any of them and tell you what's good and what's bad.
Excellent.
Because I have a gift.
You do.
Gift for BS. Here it comes. Let's take a look at the opening movies this weekend. Taking Woodstock. Ang Lee directs the story.
Hey!
The story of how Woodstock got put together by the organizers of that event, and it became something, I guess you could say safely, a little bigger than they anticipated. Max Yazger's farm was the location. They're going to have a little arts festival there, and it became the largest concert event of its time. Interesting? Nope.
I think it looks great.
I think it looks bad.
Woodstock,
it doesn't look bad. I'm just not interested.
Hey, Woodstock was big, and there were a lot of hippies there. They sure did smell and slide in mud.
They sure did have hippies.
Yeah, we know. We know. I don't know. Dimitri Martin I like a lot.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. Emil Hirsch is great.
Good actor. Yeah.
Eugene Levy.
Great.
Of course, plays Max Yazger in the film, the guy who let his farm be used for that location. Ang Lee's a good director. I guess this could be an entertaining diversion. But it just seems like this is ground that's been tread over many times over the past 50 years.
I think there's been a lot of success in movies that take a major event and cover it from a personal standpoint. I think that's what we're going to see, some characters that I think we're going to care about and how the bigger picture of Woodstock related to their lives and how it changed things. I'm willing to give it a chance.
And when
I'm
you
willing
say
to put
that,
it on my Netflix queue in 3 months. That's what I'm willing to do.
Just hearing you describe how you were going to feel about that movie.
That was interesting to hear how he felt about it as a guy who doesn't see movies.
Here's a scene from the film where Eugene Levy, as I mentioned, plays Max Yazger. He is making the deal here in this scene for the use of his land for the Woodstock concert.
So listen up, Philadelphia Phil, and all the rest of you brotherly
love
jabronis.
This is the wrong clip.
That's the wrong clip?
That's the wrong clip.
Oh.
Do we have a clip before that clip?
No, we have this.
We don't.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Maybe they're out of order, but this is the order I was given. That's supposed to be the first clip. It's supposed to be the Woodstock clip. But we'll move on to the clip that you just heard, which is Patton Oswalt. As you know, I've got a bit of a crush on Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, he's funny.
Here he stars in a low-budget independent drama called Big Fan.
And Big Fan is about a hardcore New York Giants fan who has to deal with the confusion he feels when his favorite player from that team beats him up.
Physically.
Physically beats him up.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's a comic premise, but apparently it's a serious film. But a guy who really doesn't have much else going in his life other than his passion for the Giants. He lives at home with his mother, and he kind of stalks this player and ends up getting beat up by him. Now, how does he feel? What does he do with his life once his favorite player has turned on him?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Here is a scene where Patton Oswalt, who is the titular big fan of this movie, is talking as these guys always do on sports talk radio, and he is dissing another team in the NFC East.
Which one?
Which is a hated rival of the New York Giants.
Oh, the Redskins.
And his mom is trying to sleep while he's on the phone.
So listen up, Philadelphia Phil, and all the rest of you brotherly love jabronis who've been talking smack all week on this show. Get out your forks, because you're going to be eating your words big time! Do you mind?
Yes, I do. I'm trying to sleep.
Hey, I'm off, okay?
You try sleeping with that racket.
I'm off.
All night with the call.
Go to bed, Mom.
What kind of thing is that for a grown man?
I'm quiet.
That's quiet by you?
I'm quiet!
Oh, what a life.
That looks I love that.
That just hurts.
That looks great.
Yeah,
sounds
it does.
Great.
It's in selected theaters, so you're going to have to work a little harder to find Big Fan, but it's definitely worthwhile. The Final Destination opens this weekend. This is the Final Destination.
This is it.
This is it? Death has saved the best for 3D, people.
I hear that's
true. What Death would do.
Final Destination, you know by now, this is the fourth Final Destination movie. Death tries to kill a bunch of hot young people, and they escape it, and then Death says, oh yeah? Nuh-uh.
Oh, no, you don't.
And then he comes after him and starts killing him with really cool ways, like by escalator and stuff.
<Here's>, draining a pool.
That's right. Here's some clips from the trailer of Final Destination.
We have to get out of here. We're all going to die, all right? There's going to be a crash.
You saw it before it actually happened.
I keep having these visions. I see how the next person's going to die.
What do you mean, the next person?
Survivors in the accident.
What if we weren't meant to survive? What's going to happen to us?
Look out!
Bad things.
Bad things are going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Death. Death is probably going to happen.
An escalator eats a guy. I like
chick.
That.
I think it's a chick.
Yeah. I like that.
That's bad.
Bottom of the swimming pool, I like that.
And more horror this weekend. Just in time for Halloween. Oh, wait a minute. It's August.
Yeah, what's that about?
Halloween 2 comes out this weekend.
I wish we had the director on just after 8 o'clock.
You might want to ask Rob. Why not push back the release date, I don't know, till sometime in, let's say, October?
His original Halloween remake, too, was in, like, the middle of the summer. I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
I guess you get more weeks out of it that way, because let's face it, if it comes out October 27th, a lot of people will, the interest will drop off once Halloween passes. They won't be in the mood for a scary movie anymore once it's into November.
That's right. Oh, August is really when you're in the mood for a scary movie, because it's hot out.
It is.
Maybe they don't want to compete with the Saw movies, because, you know... Saw comes out every Halloween on that weekend. They always release a Saw.
If only we had the director on just after 8 o'clock.
No, let's speculate what he might say.
Let's not talk to him and just assume. Halloween 2 is the second time Rob Zombie visits the legend of Michael Myers, who, of course, besides murdering people, also made the horrible Love Guru. Which is even scarier, I think, than what he does with the axes and the hatchets and stuff.
No. This is the fictional character named Mike Myers.
The Austin Powers movies,
of course. This isn't the actor. This isn't the actor. No, you're confused.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
For your consideration.
Here are some clips from the very frightening-looking Halloween 2.
Since the authorities haven't been able to produce a body, do you think Michael's alive or dead?
Michael Myers is dead. D-E-A-D.
So, how are you feeling?
Nightmares are chewing at my head again.
I know he's not going to come back just because of some stupid holiday.
Evil is here.
I'm not me.
Who are you then?
I'm Michael Myers.
Ah! I'm in.
Yeah, looks great.
Rob's He's a good director.
Rob's good.
He is.
Yeah.
And just announced his next project is going to be a remake of The Blob.
Oh, really?
Oh. Legendary 50s sci-fi horror movie The Blob, which was sort of campy and cheesy the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've already done a remake that was sort of bad. But I think in Rob's hands, it could be very interesting. So something else to talk to Rob about just after the hour.
That was my nickname in high school.
The Blob?
The Blob, yeah.
Still your nickname, by the way. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
I have to be honest and tell you that I would have been among those who would have not predicted that Alice in Chains would be able to come back, get a new lead singer, and be awesome.
Yeah.
But apparently they are. All the reviews are in from the show that a lot of our people went to on Saturday and just said that they were the highlight of the day, just killed it out there over the weekend. That is Check My Brain from the new album coming out on September the 30th, Alice in Chains, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Looks like you got a room full of Mexicans right now, Kevin. What's going on?
Well, a lot of Mexicans in here right now.
We have Dave, the King of Mexico. We have Omar,
mm-hmm.
who's not technically Mexican, if you want to know. Middle Eastern.
Psycho Mike.
We have Psycho Mike, and they are part of a team that is going to be soapbox racing. Now, I was not all that familiar with soapbox racing, but it basically just means non-powered vehicles.
Right.
You can't have an engine in it.
It's the hottest trend out there, dude.
Sure, I know, yeah. And so we thought we would check in with the spokesman for Red Bull, the Red Bull Soapbox Race, and find out just exactly what our guys are getting themselves into.
Okay.
We have Scott Houston on the phone. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
It's going great. September 26th is the date. You got your latest Red Bull Soapbox Race through downtown Los Angeles. How many years have you done this in the past?
Well, we've done it for the last since 2006 in the U.S. and started in Brussels overseas in 2000.
Wow.
Okay. Is this the first time in Southern California, though?
This is the first time we've done the Red Bull Soapbox Race in L.A., it is.
And Atlanta, you're doing it, too, this year, right? Or you
yes,
already did
Atlanta
it?
Atlanta is actually tomorrow.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Oh, how about that? So how many soapboxes are entered to race in the Los Angeles race?
We've got just under 50 teams that'll be racing, and all different kinds of teams, all different kinds of themes. So it should be really exciting.
Now, this is one of those things where it's not just speed, it's not just a race. You're going for three things: speed, creativity, and showmanship.
That's correct.
Okay.
The trifecta.
So
speed obviously makes sense, how fast you get down the track.
Right.
The creativity has to do with design of the craft.
Okay.
You know, how exciting and interesting and creative that is. And then showmanship, we've got a 30-second skit that you do on top of the course before you actually run down.
What?
Skit is your time to show your...
Okay, wait a minute.
Whoa.
These guys don't know anything about a skit.
Yeah.
You have to do a skit?
Well, yeah, you got to do a skit. You got to come and wow the crowd and the judges with your.
Now we're talking. These guys will rule that competition.
Absolutely.
Now you say almost 50 teams.
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
Scott, for people who are still having trouble visualizing what a wacky race this is, give me an example of the type of drivers you've had in the past. Maybe somebody that sticks in your mind that had a particularly creative skit and approach.
Yeah, certainly. Well, we've done it for several years. There's always we have a lot of A-team vans and got all the guys dressed up like the characters from A-team.
Sure.
And in a 30-second skit, they'll act out some sort of great A-team thing with the
what you talking about, fool?
I like it.
We've had the Ferrari. The craft was the Ferrari from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay.
So all the cast and characters there. We had a Golden Gate Bridge. We've had a hamster wheel that actually ran next to as part of the craft.
Awesome.
With an oversized hamster in there running.
Now, what do you get if you win the race?
If you win the race, you get a VIP package to a NASCAR race.
No, that's great.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
You get all in the
pits, I love the NASCAR.
You get some drivers, you get to do the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay, but winning the race is not the only thing, right? I mean, it's all about all three things. Do you have judges?
Well, yeah, we do have judges, and those three criteria we talked about, all of those go into winning the
race. Okay, all right.
Yeah, so that's what I meant.
Not just the fastest time.
The fastest down the track. But if your craft's not that interesting and your skit isn't that great, then perhaps your points aren't going
to
add up.
You guys have to do a skit.
Well, we have this. We are entertainers.
All right, Dave.
Everybody loves death.
King of Mexico, tell us what your idea is, what you're already working on. What you're going to be?
Well, we're going to celebrate the summer of death 09. So, you know, our skit is going to be easy to do. We're just going to die.
And all right. that's fascinating.
Everybody loves it.
So, Dave is horrible at explaining things, Scott, but my understanding is that their soapbox
He's
is a coffin.
He's an entertainer, Bean.
You're right. Their soapbox is going to be a coffin, and each of the three guys is going to be dressed up as a famous person that died over the summer. I think Billy Mays is going to be represented. I think you got Michael Jackson. And who's the third one, Dave?
I got Steve McNair.
Steve McNair.
Steve McNair. So those are going to be the three, right? Now, is three guys in a soapbox, is that allowed, Scott?
We can do one or two drivers that are actually in the soapbox.
Oh, so you can't do three?
You could have three on in the skit. You can have five.
Okay.
There's five members on the team.
What? Okay, you have a team of five, but only two can race?
Yeah, only two can actually be in the actual soapbox as it goes down.
Can I talk to my team real quick? Should we, in the skit, can we add a Ted Kennedy and Farrah Fawcett? I mean, we might as well.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
for sure.
And hopefully, hopefully somebody big will die between now and then.
Absolutely.
And you'll be set.
All right, let's talk about the specifics of the soapbox. If you're just joining us, by the way, Scott Houston is on the phone. He is a spokesperson for the Red Bull Soapbox Race, and that is all. Also, the website, Red Bull Soapbox Race. That's tough to say.
That was good.
September 26th, it's going to be in downtown Los Angeles. What about the vehicle? Like their coffin, for instance. What are the criteria they need to abide by in order to make that legal to enter your race?
Okay, first of all, as we talked about before, you can't have any kind of engine or power cell or anything along those lines.
It's just a downhill thing.
Yes, exactly right. You push off the start ramp, and we do have a ramp.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's just gravity and velocity that take you down the course.
Is it a straight course?
It's not a straight course.
You have to turn.
Yes, there is. It starts up at the top of the hill, obviously, on the start ramp, which is on Grand Avenue.
Right.
And you go down, and we'll have some chicanes in there. There's a jump. Then we get down right by the library.
I'm sorry. Wait. Let's back up. There's a jump?
There's a jump?
Well, there's actually two jumps.
This gets better and better.
The coffin is going to be flying. How badly have people wiped out in this race?
Obviously, there have been some bumps and bruises, and we take all precautions necessary. But
can they wear helmets? Definitely... Can they wear body armor? One of those chain-link suits that you wear for sharks? What can they wear?
Chainmail, possibly. They all have to wear helmets.
Helmets.
They definitely wear helmets.
Okay.
That's required. But, there have been some spectacular crashes, you know, just a few bumps and bruises, but there's been some crafts pretty much disintegrate as they land.
Imagine the newspaper write-up when somebody playing a dead celebrity actually gets killed in the soapbox race.
Crazy.
We can
in a coffin. Michael Jackson dies again.
We can only hope. Fingers crossed.
All right, Scott, nearing the end of our time with you, we're very excited about this race, and of course we all want to be there to see it, but is it too late for people to still enter? I mean, are you at your limit of how many soapboxes you're going to allow that day?
Yeah, definitely, because when we pick the teams, they have to actually build them.
Right.
It's not prefabricated soapbox racers. So we've got our teams. We've got them all set.
Now, do you have
teams? Come down and watch, though.
Do you have pretty much regular teams?
We have some repeat teams, but we try that do different. Right. To build a new craft.
Right, but I'm saying they're veterans.
There's a couple, but we don't let them do it over and over and over because we don't want somebody to be a ringer, you know.
So we got the paperwork in, though. We are one of your 50 teams, right?
You are indeed.
Wow.
Okay.
How'd you guys get the paperwork together and all that?
Not us.
Wasn't us doing.
We had white people handle it.
here's my last question for you, Scott. And you're awesome to come on, and we may have further questions as we get closer to the race. But you talked about how it can't be a prefab vehicle; that has to be something you build. Like these guys are starting. I think they're actually starting with a real coffin. Is that allowed, or do they have to build the walls of the coffin together too?
No, the real coffin is okay. It's just we don't want something that's like, you know, a pre-existing go-kart or something like
that. Oh, I see. A vehicle like that.
I got you.
Okay.
All right.
If it's not wheeled at this point and you put wheels on it, that's okay.
All right. These guys are going to jump in a coffin.
That's literally going to be the jump of death.
Yes, it is. And they're going to do a skit. I can't wait.
Hey, Scott, you don't have to be sober during the event, right?
No comment.
All right.
Good, because
safety first.
Our team would be disqualified if that was the case.
That's true.
Kevin, right. I did not have much luck with the website. Why don't you try giving it out for people who want more information about the event September 26th?
No, you did well. It's Red Bull Soapbox Race.
RedBullSoapboxRace.com.
Right. There you go. You're a better man than I. Thank you, Scott. We enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys. Bye.
.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5 minutes till 8.
Kevin and Bean Show, Friday morning, Rob Zombie in minutes. Do yourself a favor, by the way, and go to kevinandbean.com and check out the photo of our own Kevin, very deeply in love with our guest Luke Robitaille from the Los Angeles Kings yesterday in studio. They are so happy together.
Well, I'm happier than him. Kevin looks like a blushing bride in this photo. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
I've loved the Kings for a long time, and he's, you know.
Yeah.
So when I was taking the picture, I don't know. I was.
You were giddy.
Check it out. Excuse me.
That's what he said to him.
It is a super gay photo.
Excuse me.
That's true.
I'm Mr. Humphrey. Excuse me.
Ralph beat the system, is done with jury duty for another year, and he is back on the Kevin Beat Show with a look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday.
Tell you, I was kind of digging it when I was down there in that courthouse. It was kind of cool. See the inner workings of the justice system?
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's awesome.
I think maybe my dad was right when he said I should have been a lawyer. Now look at me.
You can change now?
I'm just a jackhole reading showbiz stories.
No, you
could
do
have been
voice.
Change. I could have been changing the world.
You do voices of animals, too.
That's true. I do that. I do Russian dogs on a subway.
Right.
I've got that to be proud of.
Ralph, I found a plant in the Philippines that eats rodents. Would you be willing to be the plant if we made a phone call?
Sure, whatever. I'm a plant. These rats taste good.
All right. Booking for Monday.
You're going to find me swinging from my shower curtain this weekend. Just sad. Megan Fox says she prefers to kiss girls.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't hear me. Megan Fox says she prefers to kiss girls.
Yeah.
Thank you. Apparently, she makes out with Amanda Seyfried in Jennifer's body.
That's right.
My crotch really, really loves it.
I feel much safer with girls, she said about filming the love scene. I felt more comfortable kissing her in the movie than kissing any of the guys I've had to kiss.
That's nice for the guys.
I think she was extremely uncomfortable, she says, about her co-star, however. She was not comfortable, and there was a lot of laughing, like giggling, that happened in between takes.
Yeah, you giggle, girls. You giggle.
That was cute.
And the pillow fight broke out.
Was this in her interview with Dave? Is that where all this came
from? Yeah, remember she said that when Dave asked her.
Hear that in his interview.
Yes.
What part?
Let's revisit
right
that.
Here.
I thought Dave covered it. Play the interview.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She didn't mention that. That's right.
Was there some sort of a time limit that he had there? was there some sort of race he was going on with?
I don't think so.
Megan, that's what I was saying. Hello.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Don't you stretch that out as long as you
can
if you're talking to Megan Fox?
Hi, Megan. How are you? Great to see you. You look great tonight.
Right.
I wonder if you've got time for a question. I just got the one question.
And then you have 100.
Hello?
And they're all the same thing, but you ask it in different ways.
I bet you can't get a boner.
That's Dave's problem.
Death Cab for Cutie in the news. Apparently they will have the first single off the soundtrack for New Moon, second installment in the Twilight movie series. It's called Meet Me on the Equinox.
Okay.
It was written and recorded just for the film. You'll be able to hear it September the 13th at MTV.com during the Video Music Awards.
No!
I don't even know what's the point of that.
The New Moon soundtrack will be released on October 20th, and the movie opens a month later in November on the 20th.
A month!
Whoa, Lisa, everybody.
What that is.
But new Death Cab music, if you're so inclined. Speaking of Twilight, there's a lot of guys with plastic fangs and capes who are very excited today.
Really? What? Guys?
News about Kristen Stewart getting naked.
Oh.
Bella, of course, from the Twilight movies. We'll be stripping for a new movie called Welcome to the Rileys, an independent film about a stripper who reunites a grieving couple who have drifted apart after the death of their young daughter. Ah, I love strippers doing social work.
They do that a lot.
Oh,
people don't give them credit for it, but
I think strippers bring together more couples than almost anyone else.
That's correct.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I think strippers break up more couples than almost anyone else. I had it backwards.
Is that a final casting? Is that their final decision?
Kristen Stewart will play the stripper.
Okay. Yes. Is there any...
You can tell it's an independent movie. They're not expecting many people to see it. Because if they wanted an audience, they would have picked somebody hot.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, she's popular, but I don't know that her fans and Twilight fans are interested in her in a role like that.
I think they'd watch her in anything.
Yeah, and the rest of us don't really care to see her strip because she's so low energy. It doesn't seem like she'd be very good at it.
Although, there's a lot of strippers who have the same problem.
Yeah, maybe she's a bored stripper.
With the dead stare in her eyes. I think she'd be perfect for a stripper, actually.
Don't need hippie strippers.
Not that hot. Dead in the eyes.
Right.
Low energy. Doesn't look like she wants to be there.
Just doing it for money.
She's the perfect stripper.
It'll be the most accurate portrayal of a stripper ever on the screen.
Except for the part where she brings the family together.
That's right.
That's inaccurate.
And congratulations to one of my favorite TV shows. We don't get a chance to talk about this much on this show, because I think I'm the only one who watches. But on TNT, there's a program called Leverage, starring Timothy Hutton, about a team of con artists who are the good guys who do good things for people. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the A-Team meets Mission Impossible meets the A-Team.
Well, you're bringing it to life.
It's a great show. I enjoy it enormously.
It sounds fantastic.
And it has been renewed for a third season. Just announced TNT will be bringing Leverage back to our TV set, so everyone's very happy.
Who's the star of that, Ralph?
Timothy Hutton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who you may remember from Ordinary People. He's an Oscar nominated, I think.
Who's the lead in that?
That'd be Timothy Hutton.
Oh, yeah.
Gina Bellum's in that, too. Bellman.
Fail! Epic fail.
Really good. Watch it. That's what I'm saying.
That's what we meant.
They like fruit, right? That's
they
the show where the guy
it's
likes
not
fruit.
That's
no,
true.
This is it's very funny and very entertaining. It's like capers. Like caper. Every week there's a different caper. They have to steal something or con someone out
they're
of something.
They're undercover, and they've been undercover for so long that they're losing track, kind of what's real and what's not.
I believe that's Dark Blue.
Yes.
This is on just before Dark Blue on TNT. On Wednesdays, you say Leverage, and then you stick around for
so
Dark Blue.
So they're advertising guys on Madison
Avenue. No, that's Mad Men. Different show. Leverage. Wednesday night's TNT.
He's a cop who wakes up and he finds he's back in the 70s?
Exactly. That's exactly what it's
all
about.
Right.
Now I got it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Leanne Rimes is 27 years old. Today, Carly Pope from the TV series Popular and from the wildly successful film Two for the Money celebrates her 29th birthday today.
Was that wildly successful?
Biggest grossing motion picture in history.
I don't think so.
I just said it.
Okay.
Jason Priestley, Beverly Hills 90210, is 40 years old today, as is Jack Black.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He is.
He's got Gulliver's Travels coming up next year, I think, which should be great.
He has a weird filmography, that
he
guy.
He does. He picks interesting projects.
Chooses strangely.
Shania Twain is 44 years old. Jennifer Coolidge celebrates her 48th birthday. And actor Daniel Stern is 52. I'm glad to see he survived that kid, that Macaulay Culkin, who tried to hit him with paint cans and stuff and everything. Yeah, that was rough.
Just a movie.
That was rough. And then the kid went, oh! That was funny. That little kid going, oh!
It was three movies, technically. But.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, this is Rob Zombie wishing you a happy Halloween.
It's been 2 years already, if you can believe it, since Rob Zombie's original Halloween movie was the number one film in the country, and he's shooting for it again this weekend. It comes out today, Halloween 2. Ladies and gentlemen, back on the Kevin DeBean Show, it's our old friend Rob Zombie. Hey, Rob, how are you, man? Great to talk to you. How you been?
Good.
I know you have been very busy and have been working tirelessly to promote this movie. I'm sure you're glad it's finally here. The countdown is over.
I am glad. These things are exhausting, and as much as I love it, you can't wait to get it out there, man.
How long have you been pretty much done with it and just waiting, or did you just finish?
We pushed it to the last second. We just finished it, I would say, 2 weeks ago.
Okay, good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What's interesting, and it's so funny when you are attempting to do what you do, which is reboot a franchise that is so beloved. I mean, you did that so successfully the first time around. You know, there's a million different directions you can go with the sequel, but you chose to pick up the story virtually as the last one ended, right? I mean, it's the second the last one ends, that's when this one begins.
Yeah, it picks up, you know, a couple minutes later, and then it jumps ahead to a year later, but the opening scene wraps up what happened that night with Laurie.
Do you have all the creative license in the world to take the story wherever you want, or are there some things because of all the previous movies that you feel like you kind of have to adhere to?
Well, I mean, with the first film, since it was technically a remake of John Carpenter's movie, I felt there was no pressure put on me by anybody in the studio or anything, but I felt there were things I should adhere to. You know, I felt that, you know, the character should be Michael Myers, he should wear a mask, we should have Dr. Loomis, Laurie Strode. I mean, they didn't even care if I brought back any of those original characters.
Really?
No, they did. I mean, because...
Somebody's sleeping on the job over there. What's happening? So, there should have been...
I just think that at that point, the movie, I mean, they had, you know, there had already been 8 movies. I guess they felt that it was time to really start it fresh. But I thought that those 3 characters are so iconic, I wanted to make all of them return. But as far as what I do with them, where they go, nobody ever has any input. It's just whatever I feel is the thing to do.
Awesome.
Tell me about this. When you're making this kind of movie, Rob, and you've got your lovely star, what's her name? Scout Taylor Compton? Is that that's her name, right?
Yeah. Yes, Scout.
I mean, is it tough for you, just as a human, to put another person through the stuff that you make her go through when she's starring in one of these films?
I mean, sometimes it's hard, and I always try to look out for her, but she's really tough, and I have to sort of keep an eye on her because she will do things where she will end up getting hurt, and she won't. You know, nobody wants to disappoint anybody, and she doesn't want to disappoint me, so she'll keep doing things and not say if she's hurt or injured, so you got to keep an eye out for it. You know, there's one scene towards the end of the movie, you'll see that she's completely bruised from head to toe, and they're all real bruises.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Because she was doing this one scene over and over, and she kept bruising herself and getting really hurt, but she didn't say anything, so I didn't know. And it's not until the next day where someone shows up and their entire body is purple practically from bruises. You know, and she's like, finally she admitted there was one scene we were filming in the rain, and it was freezing cold. And eventually she finally admitted, I can't even move. I can't do this anymore. So stop. But, you got to beat it out of her. She just will not admit that she's dying out there.
But only if she's on death's door will she speak.
Pretty much. Wow. Yeah, pretty much.
Is this another kind of guerrilla filmmaking, low budget, let's get in there and do it fast under not ideal conditions, or did you get a little bit more leeway this time around?
Well, I mean, it's not low budget. We had a good budget, but it always feels guerrilla anyway because we're just running and gunning like maniacs. You know, this is not – but I like doing it that way because I think that – well, you know, there's like that happy middle ground where you feel like you have what you need, but you don't have more than you need.
Right.
And I think that's a good way to be because I do think sometimes movies get – they get very fat. And you see these productions, and they have so much money. Yeah, you know, you go see it. Sometimes you see a movie that costs $200 million.
Yeah, and then
what the hell?
How did they spend it? But also, they don't want to cut any part of it out because it seems like they spend so much money on it. So sometimes it's just bloated when
it's bloated,
see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts with the script. You have to, you know, if you know your budget, you try to make the script reflect the budget. There's nothing worse than someone has $20 million when they wrote a script that really requires $100 million,
right.
And it's ridiculous. So I try to, you know, as long as the script matches the budget, you're all good.
So you wrote this as well?
Yes.
Okay.
This is our friend Rob Zombie on the phone, by the way. We're talking about Halloween 2 that opens up everywhere today. Kevin, I think we have a clip, don't we?
We do, and I think it explains pretty well what's going on in this movie.
Annie?
So you can see.
You're in.
I think 911 not getting there in time.
Yeah. Maybe 911 is not what they should be doing.
Not the answer.
Ooh, so close.
Rob.
That's actually a pretty funny scene because in that scene, you can hear this chaos. Michael Myers is crashing through this door. And the prop people forgot to put up the fake door.
Right.
Oh, no.
There was actually this thick oak door. And Tyler, who plays Michael Myers, he crashed through a real door not knowing it. And nobody knew it was real until after. It was like, oh, man, we forgot to put this.
Oh, my God.
Did he, like, knock himself out?
Boy, was he pissed. But when you watch it in the movie, that's him really just beating through an actual
awesome
door. It's
that's
pretty
amazing.
He was pissed.
All right. I'm going to set myself up for a potentially embarrassing question here, Rob. But I saw your appearance on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show the other night. And you were talking about Weird Al. You were talking about Weird Al being
Weird
in the movie.
Al.
And I couldn't tell, I mean, again, forgive me if this is stupid, I couldn't tell if you were kidding or if Weird Al somehow is in the movie, or what the hell was that all about?
Oh, I was 100% serious. Yeah, Weird Al is definitely in the movie as Weird Al.
In Halloween 2.
Yes, yes. And the funny thing is, it sounds ridiculous, but when you see it, it makes perfect sense. And that scene, I swear to God, that's... Every time I screen the movie, that's like the most popular thing in the movie.
Okay, we're talking about the same Weird Al, though, right? Yankovic, the guy who does
the
funny
Al
songs.
Yankovic. See, I'll set it up. I, I don't know if I explained it properly on Kimmel. You know, Dr. Loomis is going through this movie. He's selling his book. He's doing in-stores. He's doing TV shows. And he goes on a TV show, and the other guest on the TV show is Weird Al.
I like it.
And, you know, Weird Al's just there playing himself, and it's
Bean asks because literally Weird Al is one of his three favorite celebrities of all time.
I love Weird Al. I love him so much.
He really does.
Did you have – was it always going to be Weird Al when you wrote it?
No, it was just like one of those spur-of-the-moment things. We were getting ready to shoot the scene with the talk show, and I thought to myself, you know what could really make this better is if we had another guest with Dr. Loomis,
right,
with the character. And I quickly called up Chris Hardwick, who plays the host of the TV show, and I go, Chris, you know, you're getting on a plane tomorrow. Do you have it? Because, you know, he's a comedian friends. I thought we need a comedian like that's immediately right. recognizable. I go, do you know anyone who would get on a plane right now and do this? Like, you know, Carrot Top, Bob Saget, anyone who's completely recognizable. And he goes, I just had lunch with Weird Al. Maybe he'll do it.
Oh, that's the best news.
I go, quick, call him. And he called him, and I swear to God, Weird Al got on a plane, had not seen the script, did not know what we wanted him to do, flew to Georgia and did it, and he was awesome.
Wow.
That is one of the coolest stories I have heard all year. That is, well, that's, now I'm in. I'm going to see the movie. Halloween 2 opens up everywhere today. The great Rob Zombie. Love having you on the show, man. Wish the nothing but success with this film. We'll talk to you soon. All right, dude?
Thanks a lot. Thanks for talking to you.
Thank you, man.
Let me tell you something about my friend Adam Carolla. Let me tell you about the Ace Man and his podcast. See, this is what's awesome about Adam, is that we have lots of guests on this program, and it's pretty much just the, you know, the grip and grin. It's the, hey, how are you? What are you pushing? See you later. I mean, we get like 3 minutes, right? The Ace Man gets them over to the house, liquors them up, sits there, an hour goes by, 2 hours go by, they're just yapping it up.
Yeah,
no commercials, nothing.
Like little schoolgirls?
The grip and grin goes to the rub and tug with the Ace Man on his podcast. Yeah. Yeah, I was just telling Bean off the air that we had Christoph Waltz, the guy who starred in the new Tarantino movie, is going to be on this show, or Tarantino is going to be on the show. But anyone who sees that movie, Inglourious Basterds, sees this guy's performance and goes, I haven't seen one like it in 10 years. He's getting the Oscar, right?
He's got, if he doesn't get the Oscar, I mean, I can't imagine what would. Nothing I've seen this year certainly competes. I mean, he is phenomenal, but he's the kind of guy that must be fascinating to sit down with and find out what makes tick, because he's a really interesting. This is the first English language movie he's made in like almost 10 years, right?
Right. Quiet guy. I said, so you're from Germany? And he said, no, I'm Bavarian. And I said, what's the difference? Really? We tried to bomb you, right?
Anyway, check out the podcast at adamcarolla.com. And, of course, he's got the CarCast podcast, too, that's also equally popular. But you really do a nice job with those interviews, Ace.
Thank you. So. And I want to tip my cap to you guys did a nice job with Rob Zombie. And nice guy.
He's a great guy.
Good, and I want to give a shout out to his parents, still alive, by the way, Dale and Eunice Zombie, awesome people, Zombie. So they're just a delight. Can I want to talk about something before we get to my This Week in Rage.
Sure.
I looked up in the sky. I got up yesterday. Look, it was a hot day. It was clear. I looked up in the sky, and you know what I saw?
Sun.
Nothing.
What do you mean nothing?
I just remember the summer days when it was hot outside and you'd look up and you'd see some sky riding. Remember back in the day? Remember growing up, there was always some biplane up there belching out some smoke? And you'd say, there's two phases. You could get there too early, in which case you didn't know what it was, but you just had to stand there and drool.
Right.
Just in a puddle of your own drool and be late for school, just sitting there staring to see what it was. Or there was too late. Like when the wind got to it, it was like, I love Jesse, or is it Jesus? Jesus. I wish I had the number of the guy who's riding that. I could find out what it is. But there was sky riding.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
And there was a guy, they would do the heart. They would do the marriage proposals. They would do the I love you, Kathy's. And you're like, how much did that cost? Who's Kathy? I wonder if I know her. She's got to be around here. I wonder if she saw it. Like, what's going on? It was just fun looking up into the sky. And now we just have the guys with the banners.
Sure.
They're just dragging the crap along the beach, and I wonder if the old school pilots ever run into those guys and just make fun of them. Like, you know, one Labor Day, kid, I wrote the entire lyrics to Dream Police over the Santa Monica Bay. What do? You drag around a towel that says Ducati on it? It's good stuff. Give me another beer, would you? I mean, it was an art, right? Skywriting?
I never understood how they could make it look right, but they did.
Is it not an effective form of advertising?
Well, clearly no.
But we're all staring up. We're all staring at it.
But
you can't not look at skywriting, Kevin. You have to look at it.
But if you're 1 minute late, it's gone.
It blows away. So it would say I, and then that blows away. You're already lost. You don't know what
I know, but at least you're gathering a crowd. It's like those billboards that you pass where, you know, for the first 10 times you pass them, you can't figure it out.
And then right. The
11th time you get angry.
Yeah,
no,
get
no,
mad.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. All right, so horrible idea.
It was
but
a
I'm
horrible
just saying,
idea.
There's
at the
a
time.
Lot of guys out of work.
Okay.
There's a lot of guys who fly biplanes and belch smoke out of the back of the rear end who need a gig, and I'm saying let's get them back to work. And I'm just, I don't know. Did Al Gore put away? Did he do away with this?
Oh, like, I don't know. Global warming.
Maybe
thing?
Something toxic's coming out of the back of the plane.
Yeah.
What were they using?
Sarin gas, probably.
I'm just saying.
It's the only kind
I want some
up.
Skyriding.
Okay.
I want
okay,
a message well, that says, where are the Skyriders?
We'll make a note of that. A quick break here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll return. It's Friday. That means Adam Carolla is here with The Week in Rage right after this.
Adam Carolla is in studio. It's weird because he seems like a very nice, likable, affable guy, but secretly, he's filled with rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right. Number three, working our way down to number one. Number three, lighters. Miss the old lighters. New lighters, they got these safety bands on them. They don't work very well. You can see there's fluid in them, and you shake them. Somehow shaking it makes it better, but it never really works, and you just wear all the cartilage out of your thumb. Just flip, 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 nothing. And then there's this thing, because one kid burned down his mobile home in Alabama somewhere. They all have these safety features where you have to hold something down and plug something in. It takes three, four people to operate them. Here, put this corn cob in your tuchus, twist it 90 degrees to the right, hold this button in, face Mecca, and you can light your doobie. And I was just thinking back, remember the glory days when remember you'd go to your friend's house and they had a coffee table and there was that massive lighter on the table? It was like full-size pineapple. In the 60s, you watch Mad Men.
Okay.
You'll see in the 60s and 70s, that baby was a centerpiece. It was like made of brass, it weighed 200 pounds, it took 9 gallons of kerosene. Scene, took five guys to operate. Was a full-size brass pineapple,
right.
Or W.C. Fields' head, or it was just. There was a lot of naked chicks and boobies involved, but there was huge, and they were crystal. They were like works of art. There were monuments to lighting cigarettes. They would just be right in the middle of the coffee table, just huge lighter, and you have to fill them. You have to get like a tanker truck to back up to the house once a month. A guy would come, and you just top them off. Mammoth lighters that sat in people. Now we just got these things you just flick and flick and flick and flick and flick and then hold your hand and it's got a band. I'm just saying this. Let's get back to the old school lighter. Let's get back to the works of art that were lighters. Yes?
Okay. Sure.
No. You're not with me.
Here's what I'm saying.
Right. James Dean back in the day would get that Zippo out and he'd go whap whap with it. You know, like wow, who pow. He did it like nunchucks, remember? And it'd be lit.
Okay.
It's like, how lame would it be if James Dean or Marlon Brando was sitting there with one of those safety lighters now? The flick, flick. Sorry, sweetie. Flick, flick. Hold on. Let me turn my back to the wind. Hold on, sweetie. Hold on. Flick, flick, flick. He's got two cigarettes hanging out of his mouth. He's going to light one for each. That was a power move.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Two cigarettes. Going to light one for me and one for you. But hold on. Hold on. There's eight-knot wind coming out of the north. Flick, flick, flick.
Okay, I can see all that. Right. I can see that.
All right. Yeah. Next one.
Number two.
Beepers. You know this thing? You know when your cell phone is running low on the batteries,
yes.
And then the thing chimes in, meep, meep, and it does that little thing,
right?
And then 4 seconds later, does it again, and then 4 seconds later, I got the message. Somewhere around the 29th chime in and interruption of my phone call, I do understand that the phone is running low on batteries. And by the way, you're burning precious batteries with the chime and the thing and the placard.
Beep.
And now I have to do that thing where I have to press it like, do you acknowledge this? Do you acknowledge me? Say yes by pressing me. Yes, I heard you.
They do have attitude.
I get it. You have a battery.
Right.
You're low. Do I have to press your belly button like the Poppin' Fresh guy? Yes. Remember 4 seconds ago when you told me? I heard you that time! Leave me alone! I'm on the phone! What do you think I'm doing? Passing it around to a group of people? And they, hey, what's up? Oh, wow. I got a whole new fresh set of ears on this baby. Not familiar with what went on 4 seconds ago. Yes, I'm on the phone! I understand you're running low! Stop it!
Okay, I'm done with that.
Please!
Yeah.
I swear to God, I think you could talk for an extra hour and a half if it didn't keep beeping in every 4 seconds. All right, last one. ACLU. Have you heard what these guys are up to?
I have not, no.
Suing the FBI to get the papers because the FBI was doing a little thing in Guantanamo Bay where they're trying to extract information from guys. One of the things these guys got their panties in a bunch over is they went into the other room and they said, we're going to kill one of your partners. And they just fired a gun into the ground.
Right.
This, they're scaring these. By the way, when did scaring turning, when did that turn into torture? When did that turn into torture? Scaring it. They threaten them with guns. They threaten them with drills. They do all this stuff. But it's to get information. I know ACLU, you guys are suing them. But where's our class action lawsuit? What when
Who
Benny Laden,
suing for what?
When Benny Laden and his terrible towels light off a dirty bomb in Chicago and a bunch of your friends die, then can we sue the ACLU for being such pussies that they won't let these guys do? Let the interrogators do their jobs, and you Quimbys over at the ACLU, you focus on your job, which is struggling with your sexuality and wondering whether or not to confront your stepdad. Jesus Christ, these guys are trying to do a job. And we all freak out like, oh, they scared the terrorists. They fired a gun in the next room and said, we shot one of your partners. Now you want to talk? They're trying to get information so thousands of people aren't killed. Can we leave them alone and let them do their goddamn job? And you want to know what the problem is?
What's the problem?
The rope.
The rope.
The rope at gym class. We used to have a rope up at gym class, and you had to climb that rope, and if you didn't make it up that rope, we called you a pussy and sent you on a lap.
Right.
Well, when enough fat kids couldn't make it up the rope, you know what we did? We took the rope down.
We got rid of the rope.
We didn't tell the kids to lose the weight. We lost the rope.
Yeah.
Turned us all into pussies, and now we never stop belly aching. Oh, he dumped some water on him. He fired a gun in the next room. Shut up and let the guys try to protect this goddamn country.
There you
Jesus.
Go.
Jesus.
There you go.
Patriot. That's right.
AdamCarolla.com is the website. Check out all the podcasts. Adam, have a great weekend and mahalo.
Good time.
Ralph, are you nervous as an actor that you feel like you're auditioning in front of Quentin Tarantino, who is staring at you through the glass from the next room preparing to come in?
No.
Because he's not going to put you in anything.
No, there's no chance of that ever happening. I only get nervous about auditions when I think I might actually get the gig.
Right, but isn't there like one tiny piece of your brain that thinks Quentin Tarantino is watching me? If I really kill in this showbiz beat, he's going to go, oh, that dude brings it. I got to put him in my next movie.
Not even one tiny little piece.
Not even a chance. Okay,
nope.
So you haven't lost all touch with reality, in other words.
Tarantino tends to hire actors who are talented.
Sure, mm-hmm. There's that. Uh-huh.
And professional.
Right.
I see.
And
okay,
have been
so
in projects.
Right.
And right.
Who have worked.
Sure, there's
so
that.
Out
so,
and out, I guess.
Although he does like a, you know, he has an encyclopedic knowledge of movies.
Right.
So he may actually be one of the seven people who saw Two for the Money with me and
That's
Pacino
true.
And McConaughey.
I'd be willing to bet against it.
How dare
I felt,
you, sir.
I felt like I was so dumb when I went to see Inglourious Basterds. We'll talk to him about this coming up in a couple of minutes, because I felt like he probably has seen every World War II movie ever made, and mm-hmm. he probably is making some inside jokes about those movies in his World War II movie, because that's how he is.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm too dumb to have probably got the references, I
Well,
think.
Pitt's character is named Aldo Rain.
Now, what does that mean?
And Aldo Ray was a classic B American movie actor in B movies who did a lot of World War II movies.
That's what I'm talking about. That sort
Aldo
of thing just went over my head, I think.
Aldo Ray was
but
great.
I didn't have an accurate grip on history either, because it didn't seem like I was like, what? How did I not know that?
There may have been some liberties taken.
Oh. All right.
Well, it is a phenomenal, phenomenal movie, and we're very excited to have Mr. Tarantino back in the house. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Speaking of good movies, finally, they're getting around to making another Triple X.
Really?
What? Yeah.
What?
Triple X? Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel?
Xander Cage? Hello?
What was that story? He was a nanny or something? And then
No.
That was a different movie.
He was an extreme sports athlete turned government operative.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It
was they hired him for the government because he could skateboard, if I remember correctly.
He could jump motocross.
Sure.
And he could ski. It was like X Games Secret Agent.
Hey, youngsters, please come see this movie.
Hey, we're hip. We love the X Games, too. We'll drink some Red Bull with you if you come to see this movie.
And we'll do stunts like you see in the X Games.
So Vin Diesel did the first one. Then the second one starred Ice Cube. He just took over as the new Triple X.
Okay.
Well, good news. Vin Diesel's back in the role that made us yawn. It is Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage.
I want a good
movie.
Wait. Welcome back, Mr. Diesel, again?
Yeah, welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
Wow.
Apparently, Vin's new career path is just to do sequels to all the other movies he made that actually did pretty well.
That no one's asking for?
Yes.
Yeah.
How pissed is Quentin hearing this news that he didn't get that gig directing this?
Look, they may not have named a director yet. He still might have a shot.
Fingers crossed.
The return of Xander Cage.
Yeah.
With a name like Xander Cage.
That's true.
You know he's got to be good.
He's not, but yeah, you would be led that way.
He wore a fur coat in the first movie, too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think it was a raccoon coat.
Yeah, like a big pippin, like an NFL player.
And he sang through a megaphone.
Oh, this bizarre.
He wore a straw hat.
What? I don't remember any of this.
Fail. Epic fail.
He looked like a 1920s college football fan, I think, if I remember correctly. More movie news. Just announced today, Hollywood Reporter says that Columbia Pictures is going to make a second Hancock.
That was good.
I enjoyed Hancock.
You know, I did too. I caught it on cable, and I actually really liked it.
It was sort of an interesting take on the whole superhero mythos. Mm-hmm. Will Smith playing a down-and-out superhero, a drunk superhero. Although the movie kind of resolves itself towards the end. I don't know what the sequel would be, except maybe him being a good superhero, I guess, maybe.
Man, I seen that movie, too, and I fell asleep on it.
No, you didn't, Snoop. Get to see Charlize Theron again.
That's good.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
How dare you?
Did you just gong Charlize Theron?
You did. That
Not
was Mike.
For Charlize.
You should be raped. That's what should happen to you.
I didn't want to see your face.
Murder.
You know she's an angel.
I am so
dropped
not
from
a
heaven.
Raper.
She looked beautiful.
She's the best
in that
ever.
Movie.
I
just she's trying to.
Remember when she shows up all pissed off at him and the wind's blowing in her hair and she's got that dark makeup on? Oh.
Yes, I'd rather not hear that sound.
I'm done.
All right.
What else do I got? Oh, Dave Mustaine is battling with Metallica.
Uh-oh.
Again?
Hard to believe.
They're having another battle. Apparently, Dave is still cheesed off at Metallica for not including him in the band's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction this year.
Well, he was a founding member, wasn't he?
I guess.
He was with the group for 2 years. But the thing is, they fired him before they recorded their debut album.
Well, then I can see their point.
So, Lars invited him to the ceremony, but only to sit and watch in the audience.
You want to watch us get inducted?
You want to watch us get up on stage and accept our induction to the Hall of Fame? Come on by. So, he...
They probably gave him seats in the back, too.
He begged off.
Yeah.
He claims to have written the majority of the music on Metal Up Your Ass, a.k.a. Kill 'Em All. So, that's where his big beef is. Is that, they kicked him out of the band before they recorded it, but it's his music.
Thank you, metal scholar. I could listen to you talk about metal forever.
Remember when he did?
Talk about
remember
metal
when you
forever.
Did the history of metal?
Oh, yeah. And we all left? We couldn't take it.
We literally
left. He was so long-winded.
Anyway, Dave went on, of course, to have much success with Megadeth. Mm-hmm. And he said he is campaigning actively to get them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Because then he said he's going to ask Lars to induct him, to be the one that speaks and inducts the band into the Hall of Fame.
And that'll be a burn?
Well, it will, because he said he's going to give all of his friends and everyone in the front two rows a dozen eggs and ask them to pelt Lars with eggs when he gets up on stage.
You know what's not going to happen is Megadeth being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's
Anything
what's not going to happen.
Said?
Any of that.
Right. Yeah. You may be right.
Wow. That's a terrible plan.
And speaking of terrible plans, Kevin, thank you for the segue. They are turning Heathers, one of my favorite films. You remember Winona Ryder and Christian Slater in the legendary film from 1989? Into a TV series.
Bad.
Oh. That'll be on Fox, according to Daily Variety. Heathers, the series.
Yeah, that's not going to be good.
Needless to say, you all failed.
There was a long talked about sequel. Actually, they're still talking about that.
Sequel movie,
which I would be interested to see, but not so much a TV series based on Heathers.
You could see that. On television.
Not yet, but they're going to make it.
And lastly, before I make room for Mr. Tarantino, they are finally starting to tase douchebags in Hollywood, and I think that's a step in the right direction.
That does seem good.
Apparently, early this morning, Brody Jenner was tased outside of a nightclub called Guys and Dolls after a fist fight with Joe Francis from Girls Gone Wild.
Oh, my God.
But shouldn't Joe Francis have been tased? If
Always.
Someone was going to tase
him. That's my standard. I think he should be tased at all times, wherever he goes. But apparently, it's a long story, but I'll give you the highlights.
Right.
Brody Jenner's there with his girlfriend, Jade Nicole, Playmate of the Year last year. They're celebrating his birthday. Francis is also there, apparently just harassing his ex-girlfriend, who's also a friend of Jade Nicole's. So Jade Nicole goes up to Joe Francis and throws a drink in his face.
Okay.
Joe does the manly thing, which is to turn and walk away. Oh, no. He grabbed her by the hair and started to punch her in the face.
Oh, my God.
Like the little girl that he is.
Threw her to the ground and began to kick her. He's a prince.
He should be tased.
He should be murdered.
Well, that too.
Apparently, security throws him out. Jenner follows him out. They get into it. Jenner punches Joe. Then someone, still we haven't found out yet, who tases Brody Jenner from behind.
Don't tase me, bro!
And Jeff and Francis flees the scene. Cops showed up, but no one was arrested, and they haven't found Francis yet, so I'll keep you posted and see what happens.
What do you bet it was a colleague of Francis? A friend? Bodyguard?
Somebody's packing a taser.
Because who carries a taser to nightclubs?
Yeah.
Not me.
Just Plaxico Burress.
I don't have time for this next story, but I'm going to have to. So I have to come back in an hour. I got a great story about.
We had an intern at this radio station that actually tased a listener. That happened.
Look, some of our listeners probably deserve it.
All right.
I got a story about Michael Jackson and the thrill people.
The Thriller people?
Oh, yeah.
You mean the group that does the dance?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that in an hour. Today's celebrity birthdays, Daniel Stern is 52 years old today. He's also the commissioner of basketball.
Anna Nicole Smith's former lover and lawyer.
That's Howard.
And a very popular radio host as well, I guess. Jennifer Coolidge is 48 years old today. Shania Twain celebrates her 44th birthday. Jack Black turns 40. Jason Priestley is 40 as well. Carly Pope, actress from Popular, is 29 years old today. And Leanne Rimes, country singer, celebrates her 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, y'all. This is Quentin Tarantino.
Ezekiel 25:17-17.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Mr. Brown, Mr. White, Mr. Blonde, Mr. Blue, Mr. Orange, Mr. Pink.
Why am I Mr. Pink?
Because you're a fat, all right?
Baby shot me down.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you?
No. For a second there? Yeah, I kind of did.
Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof.
This car is 100% death proof. Only to get the benefit of it, honey, you really need to be sitting in my seat.
As a bushwhacking guerrilla army, we're going to be doing one thing, and one thing only. Killing Nazis. Sound good?
Yes, sir!
All that credibility, and then you throw it out the window every time you guest judge on American Idol, Quentin.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you work so hard to make a career, and then you go on and sit with Paula Abdul. What's wrong, dude? What's up?
The integrity only goes so far.
You just killed the street cred. Hey, how are you, man? Great to see you again.
It's good to be back. Can I just say, that was a really hot career retrospective. Can I get a CD of that?
Of course. Omar, our guy, made it. Yeah, of course
you
can.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Very good job.
It is either an AFI award or, unfortunately, we're playing that at your funeral. One of those two things would be the only time you ever pull out a retrospective clip. I was thinking, Quentin, when I knew you were coming in, I remember you telling us about this Inglourious Basterds movie. It seems like 10 years ago you were working on it then. I mean, am I wrong about that, or is this something that's kind of been bubbling under for a long time waiting to get made?
No, it's been in my head for about a decade. Right after Jackie Brown, I came up with the idea, and I came up with a lot of the characters. And you've seen the movie, it's broken down into chapters. So back then, I wrote the first two chapters that kind of introduced a couple of characters. But then I had a different storyline in mind, and the story was just too big. It just wasn't a movie. It was like a mini series or something. And I even had one of those things, well, what, I'm too big for movies. Movies are just too small for me. That's too puny a canvas for me to even possibly think I can work on.
Sure, you need a bigger canvas, of course.
Yeah, so then I go into Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. And then, so when it came time to come back to it, like in 2008, I said, okay, let me come up with another scenario.
Did you think for a while that you were not going to come back to it, or?
I had to consider that for a while. I was always thinking about, after this one, I'll go back to it. After that one, I'll go back to it. And at one point, I thought about maybe letting it go. because, oh, maybe, you know, that was just that time and that time has passed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I just knew as a writer, it was just inside of me and they had to come out. Like, you know, I keep using mountain climbing analogies for what it is I do. And it was like, I need to climb this mountain even if I don't make the movie, just to get it out so I can see what the other mountains are.
Okay.
And then I wrote it and then I was way into it. All right. But I did have that question with myself.
Are you the kind of guy, though, who has a million ideas that you kind of get started on or make a, you know, write down some notes on and then maybe they end up something being something, and most of the time they don't, though?
No, it's really
not really.
No, I have ideas that kind of that float around, and it's more or less an analogy I used to use a long time ago is, you know, they kind of fight, they jockey for position, and then, you know, some of them need to sit in the incubator for a while,
right,
and just kind of grow a little bit and right. You know, get a little bigger, and some, you know, now some time has passed, some of those never got out of the incubator.
Right.
But this one was in the incubator for a little bit. And, but, you know, eventually, even like in the case of Kill Bill, I came up with that idea right when we were on the set of Pulp Fiction, but I didn't write it till years later.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Gotcha.
You
gotcha.
Make notes? You have mad notes everywhere all over your house or someplace?
Yeah, well, that one, what it was, in the case of Kill Bill, I actually wrote like what then would have been the first 30 pages. Then I got involved in doing other things, and I put it away.
Right.
Why can't you tell a story in under a million words, Quentin? What is it about you that requires you to expand on every thought that comes to you while you're writing?
Well, it's one of those things. Yeah, well, it's like I'm trying to write the film criticism for my movie at the same time that I'm writing the film. Get the review and the movie out of the way at the same time. It's also one of my character traits is when my characters get into a room, they get comfortable.
Sure.
Yes, they do.
Let's talk for a while.
That's true. But that's also one of the great things about it is that you get to know these characters a lot better than, you know, a lot
than if they were just poorly drawn sketches. Exactly.
And we have bands that come in and they say, we write 12 songs. That's what we do. And then we have other bands that come in and they say, we write 250 songs and use 12 and scrap all the other ones. So it's kind of interesting to hear you're kind of in the middle there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, actually, on this one of the things, though, I was trying to be really disciplined with this movie because we were trying to make Khan. So I just really didn't have time to write a bunch of scenes that we would, you know, that either that I'd shoot and then we wouldn't make it in the movie. And it's very easy for my stuff to get out of control, at least on the written page. So I purposely wanted this script to be less pages than Pulp Fiction. So one of the things that I did, I actually had the script for Pulp Fiction next to me as I was writing. So literally it'd be a situation where like, okay, I'm at page 65 now. Okay, where was I in Pulp Fiction at 65? And I'd look at it.
Right.
So
oh,
just
wow.
Going to see, am I on the right gauge dramatically as far as the story is concerned? Is this the middle or is this, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
We are talking to Quentin Tarantino, as if you can't tell, about Inglourious Basterds, currently America's number one film, which, by the
way— the world! Planet
the world.
Earth!
Thank you!
Planet
the world. Earth! In fact, thank you for leading me into that because this is something I was thinking when I was watching this. I imagine this movie plays like gangbusters in France, but boy, must they hate you in Germany. Has it opened over there yet?
Oh yeah, no, it's breaking records in Germany. It's doing
really
great. Yeah.
How do the Germans deal with? I'd love to know because I really have never been there. How do they deal with the collective knowledge of what Germany did in the 40s?
Well, here's the thing about it. There's a part of me that because you're not the only one to ask this question. There's a part of me that feels like I'm being an ambassador to Germany, but we actually made the movie there, so I had a really good idea about where the Germans are coming from. You know, you just have to understand something. With the possible exception of Jews, if there's anybody in the last three generations that have had fantasies of bringing down the Third Reich, it's going to be the last three generations of Germans.
Yeah, because they've had to carry that weight on their shoulders of something they didn't participate
in. Nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, and just even if you think of in the terms of all the German actors I have in the movie, all right, you know, that's not the first time many of them have ever worn Nazi uniforms before. If you're a male German actor, you're probably going to have to put on a Nazi uniform at one point or another. I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's not something. That's not nothing. That's something.
Yeah.
And what happened at the German premiere in Berlin was kind of amazing. It was – I can't imagine this ever happening again at any other screening because, well, one, there was this thing in the audience that just started building. One, you have all these German actors in the movie and they're scoring like it's crazy. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're really proud of how terrific their actors are. But the other thing is, okay, you know, you get the stuff at the beginning where – Aldo Rain is like saying, you know, he's recruiting the bastards, and he's like saying, we're going to be cruel to the Germans, and the Germans will know who we are. And so now there's a moment where the Germans are cringing in the theater with that. But you have to understand something. Germans are used to cringing when it comes to watching movies, especially when it comes to watching World War II movies. That's their normal state of being, watching a movie like that. But then as it goes on, then the movie starts getting funner to watch. And then it actually starts getting funny. And then there's like, you know, more humor and it's more enjoyable. And then there was this moment in the theater where all of a sudden the Germans realize, hey, we're allowed to laugh with this movie.
Wow.
We're allowed to have a good time. We can watch a World War II movie, and we're allowed to have a good time.
That's interesting.
And it was just, I mean, it was a little like that silly expression, lightning in a bottle, but it was this thing that I don't think I'll ever find in another theater again. It just got more rollicking and more rollicking and more of a concert kind of atmosphere as it went on.
Wow.
And it was really something special.
Well, it is one of the funniest Nazi movies I've ever seen. I mean, I do have to give you credit for that.
That's true.
All right. When Quentin's in, by the way, we never want to take a break, but unfortunately we do have to because we have so many more questions about what's going on with you and with Inglourious Basterds. I mean, we just – everyone in the room has seen the movie, Quentin, and we can't recommend it highly enough to our friends and to our listeners. But we'll take a quick break and come back with more with Quentin Tarantino right after this on The Kevin and Bean.
Weezer on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 927.
You probably heard we ain't in the prisoner taking business. We in the killing Nazi business. And cousin, businesses are booming.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever want to eat a sauerkraut sandwich again, take your wiener schnitzel licking finger and point out on this map what I want to know.
I respectfully refuse.
Hey, Donnie! Got a German here who wants to die for country. Oblige him.
He is so funny and good. And tell us the story of getting Brad Pitt to play this that you told, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is Quentin Tarantino on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about Inglourious Basterds. Back to you.
Thank you, announcer man.
So Brad Pitt.
That's a radio version of a pop-up video.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I just thought people may be hearing the conversation kind of sounded like it started out of nowhere. They may not know you're here or why you were asking you that. So Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Well, there's this ugly story going around that I got Brad Pitt drunk in order to get him into the movie. Well, it's you know, like most ugly rumors, it's partly truth, partly fiction. All right. The thing about it is Brad read the script and he wanted to meet me. And so I go to his house to meet him.
Let me just interrupt. Did you write it for him?
Well, about halfway into it, I started thinking he was probably the only guy who could do it. And so I go to visit him in his place, and his place is in the south of France. And now the thing about it is, his place where he lives is a vineyard.
Ah.
So, yes.
Were you thinking on the way over?
I hope Angelina's home. I hope she's home.
No, actually, I knew she wasn't because she had literally just had the twins either the day or 2 days before.
Okay.
Okay.
And I remember even like, am I intruding? This is kind of a big time.
Right.
He's like, no. I'm glad you came down.
Come on.
Let's talk about it.
So I'm curious how this stuff works. So he wanted to meet. He read the script, obviously liked it. He said, essentially, let's get together and talk about it. And that's where you sit down as a director and actor and flesh out your visions for the character and see if they're in sync, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a combination of, I already knew he pretty much liked it. So it was more of a situation of, let's talk about the material more in depth. And then let's see if we love each other. Basically, it's that kind
of
thing.
Because you're going to be working together pretty closely for a long time, right?
Exactly. And so I'm there, we open up some bottles of wine, we start talking. So we're talking about the movie, we start talking about life and everything. It's like, are we going to vibe? Are we going to have a good time making this movie together?
Right.
So it's kind of a date, to tell you the truth.
It's an audition for both of you.
It's less of an audition. It's kind of more of a date because he's got the job and I got the job, and it's like, okay, do we like each other?
Right.
But let me see if I've got this straight. You spent the night talking?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
All right, so you're talking
about. I believe in the long game.
All right, Quentin, are you at the point where it has to, I imagine this is true, but you've got to be at the point where you can get almost anyone you want for your films, right?
Well, I'm in a good situation like that if there's a part out there and I'm interested in an actor or something like that, look, they'll probably read the script.
Right.
You know, I'm in a good situation like that. But one of the reasons I'm in a good situation like that is if I go knocking on your door, then you know I'm serious. I'm not just star hunting. I'm not trying to get you in order to get my movie made. Maybe I don't even like you, but you'll get my movie made.
Right.
Right. I just don't.
You don't need to do that. Yeah.
I don't live in that world. And they know that it really is about character first. So if I'm coming to you, it's because I really think you would have a neat handle on this character. So it, you know, so if you're hearing my knock, it's a knocker of integrity.
Do you get a lot of people that you don't think are right for the part that are beating down your door? That happens a lot too, or you have to fend off almost?
Well, you can have a situation where, you know, I'm not thinking about somebody, or maybe I don't know somebody's work that well, and they've read the script and they're interested in it. And then,
but that doesn't mean that Lauren Conrad would not have been good for this film, though, right? You're not suggesting that.
But no, but you know what? That actually is kind of how it happened with Diane Kruger, was the fact that she was interested in the movie.
She earned that.
Every time
that
we
bell.
Say her name, we're going to get that's a
bell. She's never looked hotter than she does in this movie.
I could not agree more. And but the thing is, she read the part and she was like, "Oh, I want to play Bridget von Hammersmark. That's me." And I was only casting, you know, characters that were the appropriate nationalities. And so I didn't know she was German. In fact, I didn't believe she was German. I thought she was just making it up.
You thought she was from Troy.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to see her papers?
And, well, she was like, what are you talking about? It's taking me forever to lose this German accent. And now this jerk is saying I'm not German.
Nice.
But in that case, she literally, well, we were in Berlin. She flew herself to Berlin. Got the, you know, worked the scene over so she had it memorized. And, you know, she was going to get the part or know the reason why by the time she got there.
Wow.
So so she totally turned me around.
Interesting.
That's impressive.
Now, same thing with Uma Thurman, actually, on Pulp Fiction.
Is really? That right?
Really?
You didn't see her in that role and she made her presence known.
Yeah, it was actually the story with Uma Thurman it's kind of a funny story. It's one of those Hollywood stories that ended up working out okay, where we go to this agency. And what they do is, you know, they've read your script, so they're going to pitch you a bunch of clients.
Okay.
That's kind of the little meeting. And so one of the guys, one of her agents says, well, what about Uma Thurman for Mia? And I was never really into Uma stuff that much at that time.
Right.
I was like, nah, I don't think she's right for it. And he goes, well, have you ever met her? And I go, no. And he goes, well then, you know, let me set up a dinner. Let me set up a dinner so you can meet her.
But this must happen all the time with you.
Well, this was still fairly new.
It was
back
still
then,
early.
All right?
Okay,
this is early. Right. I just done Reservoir Dogs. I worked out with a bunch of guys.
Okay.
All right.
So dinner with Uma.
The dinner with Uma Thurman thing was new to me.
All right.
And so I'm literally like, okay, well, I could do that, I guess. And then my producer partner was like, no. Quentin does not have time to get together with actresses he's not considering. So no dinner. So then I get back to the office, and by the time I get back to the office, the agent, my assistant comes up to me and says, okay, so the agent is calling to confirm the Uma Thurman dinner for tonight.
For tonight?
Yeah, for tonight.
All right.
And I'm like, well, okay, now I don't want to insult her by canceling the dinner.
Sure.
So, okay, yeah, well, I'll do it. Little to find out later, she had no more interest in meeting me than I had meeting her.
Is that right?
It was truly her agent was working to get us together. And so
had she read the script?
Yeah, she read the script. She saw Reservoir Dogs. She just, yeah, I don't think this guy is going to be the guy for me.
Right, right.
And so we went out to have dinner together, and we just hit it off.
It was a great date.
Yeah, we just hit it off. And also, if you remember in Pulp Fiction, the whole scene is this weird date and John Travolta have. It's kind of a strange, awkward date that ends up working out really cool. And
till the end.
Oh,
yes.
Until the end. I mean,
there's a downside.
You don't mind me bringing that up.
No, it's okay.
And by the way, just as a side note, there is some good behind-the-scenes video on YouTube of Quentin. While you're filming that scene in the diner when they're dancing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And you are dancing like a crazy man.
Oh, yeah. Well,
in
you
this
got,
behind-the-scenes video. He's directing, but he's also dancing. And
you're keeping the beat. You've got to keep the beat. Actually, the first time I actually went to do that scene, I was operating the camera. And the first time we did it, I just started dancing. And I'm operating. Okay, cut.
I need someone else to hold the camera.
Quentin, let me – this Quentin Tarantino is on the – oh, was I'm sorry. Were we at the end of that story?
Yeah, no, that was the end of the story. Oh, yeah, but
that is fascinating. Yeah. That is fascinating stuff. Quentin is here talking about Inglourious Basterds, currently in theaters. I have to ask you this because you mentioned John Travolta, and he was always a good actor who maybe hadn't been appreciated the way he should have been until you brought that side out of him in Pulp Fiction. You did the same thing with the great Pam Grier and Jackie Brown. Well, the revelation of this movie, of course, is the great Christoph Waltz, who most people have never heard of. They don't know his name, but he's an actor who's been around forever, never, never. Hadn't done an English language movie in 8 or 9 years. How does a guy like that get on your radar, and how do you make that work?
Look, that literally is a situation that where that is just the casting process working out, all right? Because, you know, normally in an American, you know, movie or movie with American actors, I know as much, if not more, than a lot of the different casting directors. I mean, they'll give me their list, and I'll give them my list.
Right.
You know, people.
I heard you talking about these lists, and they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah, they really are. Actually, oddly enough, the casting director I work with on this one, the American casting director, Joanna Ray, is Aldo Ray's widow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And so she likes a lot of the cool older actors that are kind of out of favor and stuff. David Lynch uses her. And but the thing is, the majority of the time, you go and you meet casting directors, and they all just have the same list. The same list of actors, and they'll have their 10 that are their personal favorites.
Right.
They sneak in there.
And that's how we see the same actors in movie after movie after movie after movie.
That's it. You know,
Gene Hackman,
yeah,
for example.
You get that situation, especially with character actors, when they finally start doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, well, then they're on that list for 5 or 6 years.
I gotcha.
And then every 6 years, a couple guys drop off of it, a couple more guys add on.
Right.
And that's why you kind of see the same people all the time.
That makes sense.
But Christoph Waltz, I mean, is such a revelation. I mean, I'm sure you heard us talking about it before you came on. I mean, if he doesn't, Carolla was saying the same thing. If this dude doesn't win an Oscar, then they just shut down the Academy Awards. It's one of the great film performances of all time. And this is a guy who's probably always doing good work, but if you hadn't pulled him into the limelight like this, we wouldn't even know about him.
Yeah, it is one of those things where, like, when he came in, because I wasn't a familiar with him, because he basically does a television, like miniseries.
But you didn't know him either.
No.
You didn't go after him.
No. He just came in. And I'd seen a lot of guys that just weren't pulling it off. So I was starting to get a little desperate. And then he walked in, and literally halfway through the opening scene of him just doing his audition, the opening farmhouse scene, I was like, oh, this is the guy.
Is it always a revelation like that?
Yeah, it is.
A moment like that? Or do you ever go into it and go, I'm not sure I have the right person for this? Or
yeah, it would be hard for me to drop hammer on somebody if I wasn't sure that they were right. You know, I mean, it might not be they did it in the room. It might be you just have a sense of them, their past work.
Yeah.
Or you go out, like I said, you go out and you have drinks with them or something, and you feel that it's going to be okay. You get a sense.
Okay.
But it doesn't always have to fall down to what they do in the room during an audition. But this was a case. But you see, the thing about it is, if you're Christoph Waltz, no, that's the only way you're going to get it. Is you're going to come in there and you're going to do it.
You're going to slay
BS,
it, right? Yeah.
No get to know me. It's like, I'm going to do it.
For folks who haven't seen the movie, Christoph Waltz plays an SS agent, a colonel with the Nazis, who is so sweet and polite, yet so evil. And it's just an unbelievable balancing act that he does throughout the whole movie. And the tension that ratchets up in every scene that he's in, that on the surface, just to read it, sounds like it should be just a perfectly normal, regular conversation that nobody needs to be afraid of. But you just know there's bad things happening.
Well, you know, one of the things about Christoph that was really terrific is the fact that he's very, you know, he's very much like Londa as far as like Londa's personality traits.
That's his character, folks.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously not the Nazi stuff. It's actually his son is a rabbi. But there's an eruditeness.
I don't know what
Londa.
That means. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just, you know, a very what's the best way to describe
that? Got to dumb it down.
Just cool, detached.
Yeah, cool, detached. Very smart, too smart.
Right.
All right. Too cultured.
Right.
And one of the things that was very funny, though, was just as far as his personality, when he gets to reading the part, I'm blown away. And I'm just like, wow, thank you. You know, I'm like losing it. I'm like, wow, that was fantastic. You gave me my scene back to me. Thank you so much. And he's like, well, you could say all that you want, but it's the material. I just don't believe that an actor is only as good as their material, and you've given me terrific material, so I better be good. You know? And I'm like, well, thank you very much, but you do really have so he just makes this big case about it. It's the material, it's not him.
Right.
And I go, well, well, thank you very much for that. But no, you do seem to have an internal compass when it comes to this character. And he's like, well, maybe I have a compass. But the North Pole is the North Pole.
He's giving you Londa.
Wow.
And that's Londa. That's what Londa would
that's
say.
Totally what he does. Absolutely. Right.
So he wow. didn't stop. You know, that's one of the most interesting things about this movie is Brad Pitt's character as well. Super serious stuff, not phased by it, kind of lighthearted, goofy.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost.
Well, you know, I mean, that's part, you know, that's part of my my storytelling thing.
You don't see a lot of World War II goofy.
Yeah, you get yeah, exactly.
Really? Those two don't go together.
Yeah, it's well, it's a balance.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's, you know, one of the things I think that's throughout all my movies is I'm getting you to laugh at stuff that's not necessarily funny.
Right.
And,
you know, what we try to do on this show every day. It's very hard to do.
We're unsuccessful.
Hey,
unsuccessful.
We know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, we do. We gotcha.
It's a tough gig.
The film is called Inglourious Basterds. It is in theaters now. If you haven't seen it, you are a loser, basically, is what we're telling you. I can't let you go without asking, just because everybody's going to ask us, what are you likely to do next? Are you taking some time off, or where are you right now?
I'm just waiting for this to kind of recede a little bit into the background. All right, so I want to get writing on something sooner than later, but I just kind of need for this to recede. So
need some time.
Right now,
I gotcha.
Those incubating ideas, I thought, well, they're incubating right now.
Gotcha. You have the brother a day off, is
you
what you're
have
saying.
Something
right?
that you're rolling into. You're just
no,
kinda
I
want
to. Yeah, I have to wait for this to be officially.
And I had to ask you one more question that I forgot earlier. Brad Pitt's head. Why does he have a scar all the way around his head? Like his head came off.
Yeah.
It looks like his head literally popped off his body at some point. It was bizarre.
Okay, I will. I won't tell you how we got it, but okay. I will tell you it is a rope bird.
A rope bird.
It is a rope bird. But I don't explain how it got it.
Okay.
Again, I want you to figure that out yourself.
All right.
Hey, you created him. You're allowed. I mean, it's your baby. All right. Always one of our favorite guests, ladies and gentlemen, Quentin Tarantino, stopping by the Kevin Bean Show today.
Here. Thanks a bunch.
Keep in touch, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Kat is up next.
Yeah,
she's got 40 minutes nonstop.
Yeah. Welcome back. F you, Ralph.
The new Muse. She's got Dead by Sunrise.
She's missed you.
Silver Sun Pickup.
Tell your story walking. That's what you're saying to me, basically.
She's got Harvey Danger, believe it or not. So that's coming up in 40 minutes of nonstop.
So what you're saying is no K-Rock. Showbiz. No that's, time for the showbiz beat.
Well, it's 9:51.
Okay, fine. No, that's fine.
So
Ralph, it's not that we don't love
K-Rock.com and Bean at K-Rock.com.
It's not that we don't love
you. If you were looking forward to hearing the showbiz beat this hour, you have been horked by your friend.
Mr. Tarantino is a fascinating guest, and we love spending time with him, and we may have chatted a little longer than we should have in order to contain the content within this hour.
You are in perfect control of your show and the clock.
Monday morning, we are going to tell you all about our newest breakfast. We've got a new one to announce. It's the first one that we're doing. I can't even say it. It's the first one we're doing out of state, and we're going to take you with us. How about that?
Okay.
So 7:20 on Monday morning, we will give you all the details on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Can you give us a hint? Who's the band?
It rhymes with
Barbie's Major.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Schmarty Schmeground?
Pass it over to me.
Or Schmarty
Schmanger.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That's what he just
pass
said.
It over to me.
Or Schmoblein?
Those ad-lib classes are really paying off for you.
Roll another one.
Schmario Schmidwest.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about the queer.
Schmreed?
And I need another hit.
We're laughing,
and boom! Out of nowhere! We're singing and humming the tunes. Why? Why would we do that? I'll tell you why. Because the songs kick effing ass.
Roll, roll,
roll. Roll.
Schmo schmout.
Another one.
Schmerz would you like to touch my penis?
Just like the other one.
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
This one seems to be about to end.
It was like Studio 57 up in here.
Right.
City kids, especially those too fat to dance their way out.
I love lesbians.
Just pass it around.
Hey, how about that Hebrew thing?
Just pass it on down.
Why am I sticky and naked? Did I miss something fun?
We've decided to let you go.
Go where?
I'd like you to leave immediately. Your employment here is terminated.
What's the time, man? Oh, heck. You guys better go. You'll be late for your gig.
Let's blow this pop stand and never look back.
Okay, this is it.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. Because this is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final. This is the final curtain call.
This has been based on a true story. The motherfucking and.